welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. We'll be accepting your phone calls this morning. What else do we have? Ozzy's going to review Invincible. It'll be interesting to see how he pronounces that. Joey Chestnut, he's American hot dog eating champ. He's the guy who almost toppled Kobayashi with the, it came about a hot dog or 2.5 hot dogs short, I think, last. I'm old school with the hot dog eating. I say you round up or round down. There's no 2.5. Either you ate a little more than a half and you came too short, or you ate a little less and you came 3 short. I don't like, you know, when you start breaking the hot dogs into fractions, it's a very slippery slope.
Well, plus, you would yell at the person.
I have 2.5 kids. I have 1.5 kids. You know what I'm saying?
Where's it end?
The tongue lashing I give anybody if I'm at a ball game and they say, "Yeah, I'm good halfway done with the wiener." Of course, I won't let up for 2-3 innings. Maybe
I am trying to think of the list of things I've never not finished, and it's almost everything because I grew up in a health food house where there was never anything to eat in the goddamn fridge. So now, instead of training me to have a healthy respect for or what have you, it has instead created a weird monster where I have to take stuff off other people's plates and bring it home after we eat, because I cannot stand the idea of half a pork chop being thrown away, because I never saw a pork chop growing up except for when I ate at my friends' houses. You know, I have weird food energy.
That's because, that's like we've talked about. I've been in restaurants, like, you know, and Cindy, the wife, will be like, "All right, we can leave now." I say, "Are you kidding me? We have a glass of wine left. We're not leaving until it's done."
Oh, look, I have never, there's a few things I've never ate half a hot dog and set it down, or even set any part of a hot dog down ever, especially at a ball game or anywhere else. To me, once you put it in your hand, you must finish it. Otherwise, you will just walk around with this half-eaten hot dog in your hand the whole time. I've never not finished a smoothie. Mm-hmm. I've never went over to Jamba Juice or whatever and got down to, you know, 2 inches from the bottom and set it down and walked away. Milkshakes, almost anything more than a dollar that gets made, especially if it's in a blender. And booze-wise, never. I then drink other people's stuff at the table. I will funnel theirs into my glass if need be. Yes, never.
Well, I'm sorry. Go
ahead. I was just going to say, I get a little shame when I want to take home my food, especially when they wrap it up like a swan or something very obvious, and you have to walk it out of the restaurant.
Thank you.
I have a little shame. Like, I want to take it home, but I'm sort of embarrassed to ask them to box it up.
There is a weird, well, there's a couple of weird things about that, because I just took some food home from Arnie Morton's steakhouse on Friday. There's as many different ways to box it up as there is restaurants, which is a weird one, because some you can throw right in the microwave, others just come in a sack, others are in a bag, others in a bag lined with tinfoil. None of them work in the microwave. It would be huge if whatever they scraped their thing into, you could then pop into your microwave without transferring it once again. But it'd be also nice if we could just get on the same page, have some sort of blue ribbon panel that the government appointed, figure out the best thing to take your food home in, and that would be that, because it's always a little confusing. But the thing I always find interesting is I forget my food 3/4 of the time, and it really, it's all you need to know about people, which is when I'm full, and you're never fuller than when you say, "Listen, I've had enough, scrape it up, my good man, and put it in a box and set it here." It is sitting on the table directly in front of me. I'm looking at it, and I'm saying to my wife, "Well, let's get out of here." And I get up, and I stare at it a little longer, and I start walking out to the car, and she says, "Well, don't you want to take the food you just had?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I didn't see it. Didn't see it. It was sitting right in front of you. I didn't see it because I was full." And this is... this is what you need. This is how life works. When someone's staying at your house and you just come walking in, it's like, "Hey, the garbage disposal's been running the whole time." Is that, "Yeah, I didn't hear it." Didn't hear it because you were full, meaning you weren't paying the electric bill. You weren't going to pay to replace. You didn't. I've had this happen a million times where people stay at my house, do whatever, and, you know, the water's just continuously running or whatever. And you go, "Hey, you don't want to shut that off?" And they go, "Yeah, I didn't notice it." But that's really what you are at the restaurant when you're full and you didn't see that big tinfoil swan that was put in front of you with your food in. You didn't see it because you were full. And that's basically how life is when you're driving a rental car, when you're staying. So, like, when hotels are like, hey, please shut the lights and conserve waters and don't use the towel. You didn't see it. You didn't do. But in a bigger picture, this is how Americans are, essentially. This is how you are when gas is really cheap. This is how you are when energy and water is plentiful. When there's tons of drinkable water, then you just leave the hose running. We are one huge country of didn't notice it, didn't see it. We're all literally full at Arnie Morton's. Thank you. Wow.
Yeah, the more you know. The more you know.
It is amazing your mind gets warped. When your belly is full, then you don't care.
No. Well, the one caveat I was going to lay down was that, you know, I finish everything. Except when you're doing something, when you're being gluttonous about, like, eating the seventh piece of cake or something like that. And then right at the end, before you finish the last bite, you set it aside and you say, well, I'm not going to make a pig of myself. There's one. I have my dignity. And it's right there on the plate there. You can see it. It's one bite of chocolate cake left.
Yeah. Speaking of that, we went to Kimmel's house on, was it Saturday?
Yeah.
Had a surprise party for his, it's his buddy and our buddy too, Cleto. It was one of these things where surprise party is we're all crammed. Well, first, here's the problem with the surprise party. It is, it's great for the one person who doesn't want it. That's the person who's being surprised. But it's horrible for the other 100 party goers who have to be shushed. It's weird as a 42-year-old where you're standing in a dark living room for now. It's going on 25 minutes, and you lean to the person next to you and you say, "I don't know. I think Kimmel and Cleto were childish." Shh. Wow, this is awesome. This is great.
Did you also have to park 3 blocks away?
Yes. When you really break down the party, the surprise party, great for one guy, horrible for 99 people. Here's the deal. Yes, you park way down the street, and if it's one of these hill houses, which Jimmy lives in, you're then hiking. We had to bivouac. Somewhere by the reservoir, spent the night. We left Friday.
Sure, you took a Sherpa.
Got up at first light, and we continued our journey. Point is you get up there, then you get to the house, then there's always one guy who's in charge. And that guy always has an itchy trigger finger, because he'll do that thing where it's like, I just got a call from Kimmel. Yeah? He's at Olympic and Bundy, so everyone down! Come on, get down!
But that's like 35, 40
check,
minutes.
Come on. But check, you'll ruin it.
I'm having a drink.
Get down.
How did Kimmel and he know each other? How did they?
Shh. Dave, put the fifth slice of cake down and get down. Okay, you can eat it. Get down.
Do you think I could get a drink of water?
No. There's that guy. So there's a guy who's in charge, and this guy's greatest fear is that we all, somebody, screw something up. So there's that. So you all have to then you get shuffled around. All right, everyone, into the living room. Moving. Why do we have to go somewhere? We're already inside the house. What? Is he coming in through the chimney? Me being in his house, I'll tell you, you want a surprise? I'm going to go up into his bed and go to sleep. That's a surprise. I'll be on the pot when he opens it the next morning. There's the surprise. So you get shuffled. You're going to get shuffled. Then when you get shuffled, that's when the real shushing begins. Now you're in the dark and you're just standing there. And it's always hot because, well, it's hot outside and there's now 55 people in the room that should take 12. And now you've been standing there for 25 minutes. A lot of weirdness. Then the arguing amongst the shushing amongst the guests. Then, of course, the false alarm. Hey, here's someone's coming up the walk. And then it's just, oh, Jesus, it's Don. And then the yelling at them. What are you doing? I'm just coming to the park. Well, come on, get in here. And then they get shuffled in, and now they get shushed too. And then you stand for a long, long time. And then eventually, something gets stepped on a little. Like, I think in this case, Kimmel walked through the door first, came into the opening of the entry hall, and somebody flashed a picture. And then a couple beats later, Cleto came in. So Cleto saw a flash come from a dark corner of Kimmel's house and must have been alerted to something. But I realize, surprise party, the most selfish of all the parties, least selfish, swingers party.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, though,
yeah,
it was a weird thing.
Want to F my wife? Go ahead. You want a light beer? What do you want? I'm going to the fridge. Your beer and, what, a diaphragm or something? What are you going to do? Hey, just some ground rules. Just mop up. That's all. Leave her how you found her. Put a full tank in her and vacuum her out. There you go.
FYI, the wife likes a firm but gentle touch.
Mm-hmm. Not telling you how to do your job. You say Bud Light or Miller Light? That's a job. As opposed to stand in this living room and shut up. Yeah. What were you going to say there?
Check? Oh, well, I was going to say was, you know, Cleto must have been, it was the assumption that he's blind or something because, as you say, the car, the streets were lined with cars. What did he think was happening?
I don't know. Was that other, well, couple things. When people do the surprise party, they oftentimes leave out the most crucial thing, which is here's where you should park anywhere but in front of my house. But sometimes people live up in the hills or they live in a place where if you can't park in front of the house, there's no good place to park. They leave that part out. I had, I opened my house lovingly to my friend the Wheeze, who wanted to have a surprise party for his, and everyone just kept pulling up my driveway, and I kept saying, no, you can't park in the driveway, and they were like, oh, why can't we? Well, because she's going to come up the driveway, and she's going to see 30 cars parked here. She's not going to...
Hugh Hefner having a party every night,
right?
In other words. Yes.
No.
It stands out that
it's a
they're...
tip-off.
Yeah, and those who are attending a surprise party that think they're just going to pull up and drive into the living room and park the car, it's not a great, I would argue, a fairly selfish plan. But, yeah, Kimmel needed to get everyone on the right page. Is he coming in the front door? Is he coming in the back door? Should you park around back? Should you park around front? I actually did some thinking and took a car that I knew Cleto wouldn't know.
Ooh.
I did not take one of my vehicles that Cleto may be familiar with. I took the old lady's car and then announced we'll park with impunity.
I like that.
And I do announce that almost every Saturday at that time anyway, no matter where we are. Even if I'm in my bathroom in the living room, I just stand up and yell, we'll park with impunity. And then I throw my snifter into the fireplace. And it makes a huge whoosh. All right, where were we? Yes, Friday. Friday we did the big car wash, and it was a good time. We showed up, I got there right around 10. Damashek got there about 8 o'clock. There were still plenty of flap steak and hot chicks.
Well, that's what I said about it, and I said it at the time I was standing by it. The foxes ran free, I mean completely unchecked.
Mm-hmm. You know? Unchecked, yeah.
Doing as they will.
You know, also, I understand
lawless. We
raised quite a bit for autism.
I don't know about that, but the broads were running around. Some of them took their shirts off. They were all wet.
Yeah, Ozzy was complaining to me later that afternoon because you don't just think I see Ozzy at this show. I see him in my kitchen the rest of the day. That a lot of people are coming up getting the flap steak and not putting anything in the kitty.
Oh.
Really?
Yes. When I walked up, I saw 50 cents. In the kitty. Now, people, the only use I have for change as an adult now is to feed the parking meter. There's no other actual use for change.
Mm-hmm. 50 cent.
Yes, I got it. It's 50 cent in the parking meter. That's the only use I have for it. Other than that, I just leave it on the counter. It's nice. If you buy something that's $4.79, give the guy $5 and walk away. Do that. Do that 2-3 times a day, times a lifetime. You'll end up saving 4 months of just standing at the counter waiting for a guy to hand you some disease-riddled pennies that can then clank around in your pocket until they get stuck in the washing machine later on that week.
Was it? How much was it? Do you have any idea, Teresa?
I heard it was a couple grand in a couple hours. Is that about right, Breska?
Breska's eating.
I'm eating toast. That's right. More than $2,000 in less than 2 hours. So
that's
wow,
not bad.
Very very nice.
That's were talking about food. It made me hungry.
That's pretty good. Yes. All right. So if you were there or you want to talk about it, give us a call 866-901-ADAM. Ozzy's got his movie review, Invincible, coming up. Again, Joey Chestnut, he's either the black actor or he's a fat white guy that eats hot dogs. Well, I'm going with the fat white guy. American hot dog eating champ. Again, Kobayashi eats 53 and three-quarter dogs. See what a slippery slope it is when you start breaking the dogs into quarters and eighths. And he ate 52. So less than two dogs off of what a lot of people have said is basically what Bob Beamon's record was to the long jump Kobayashi's 53 and three-quarter is to the hot dog eating community. I like when people have a community, and I like when stores become your headquarters once a year. Oh, yeah? It's Halloween headquarters.
And by the way, I assume we're also going to have a bevy of Emmy winners rolling through here. Mike August, the Emmys last night, I assume he's lined up a number of them.
Oh, well, I went to a TV Guide Emmy party last night. Of course, as I was walking down the red carpet, the very first question that was asked of me is, don't you have to get up in like 4 hours? Thank you, dude. I'm officially bummed out now. But continue with your pointless questions. So I'll tell you about that. We also, Teresa and, well, we're all going to do a little Emmy roundtable, but not till the 8 o'clock hour. Ozzy and his review, you and your phone calls after this.
Adam. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. When it comes to helping out charity, we don't just talk a big game.
We get strippers to do something about autism.
Last Friday was the first ever Carolla Charity Car Wash.
There's a bevy of boxes running free, unchecked at the car wash.
To benefit Talk About Curing Autism.
Ladies, you're fighting autism, thoughts and feelings.
It's so wet and soapy down here.
Thanks to you, in under 2 hours, we raised over $2,000. Probably raised a couple of eyebrows, too.
There's a guy here with his infant daughter.
I remember the first time my daddy took me to a stripper car wash.
You never forget.
You never forget. It's like having a good catch.
The strippers and porn stars washed a lot of cars, and they also washed Big Tad's trunk.
Randy Vanstone helps out. What do you think, Randy?
Adam, it was atrocious and captivating at the same time.
Show us your boobs for autism.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
The best part of the morning was we all headed over there, so we didn't have our usual pre-show wrap-up and cool-down thing where we discuss who's coming on. You know, we realize, well, what do we got Monday? We got a hot dog eating champ, so there's a round table where I'll sit around and talk about ideas, and then eventually someone says, well, what if he eats a hot dog? And then we all clap, and we move on to the next topic. We did that, except for we did it just standing in water, eating flap steak with producer Angie, taking notes on a paper plate.
And she tasted like champagne.
I had like three thoughts, but I never opened my mouth. First was, why are you writing on a paper plate? Then the next thought was, well, we're at a cookout, car wash. You got to write on a paper plate. And then the next thought was, well, I think those steno pads, I think they make a transportable one now that's not trailer hitched. I think you'd actually take one with you at this point. I haven't checked into it. I know back in the day they used to have trailer-mounted steno pads. Now I think they make them small enough where you can actually, you and a couple people could probably carry them to the truck, provided you drove a truck.
We were all troopers, though, during that part of the morning, because by that point we were all ankle-deep in chimichurri sauce and bosoms and Chad's manly output.
We then wrote it down and hit the road. But before that, there was a lot of hot chicks, as we talked about. Not just your garden variety strippers. I don't know where all the hot chicks. I think the Bod Squad was down
Vegas,
there.
Vegas Scores
was down there.
And we had
there.
Porn Girls, which was awesome.
Sunny Lane and company.
And they were doing stuff that shouldn't have been done at
like
a
what,
charity
Jimmy?
Event. Well, that's what I hear.
I feel like I've brought Ozzy's flap steak to the hearts and minds of Americans. I now feel like I'm the custodian of it. So I was standing by Ozzy's folding table, and as he was handing people plates of his delectable flap steak, I was saying, where are you going without the chimichurri? And they'd be like, what? I'd be, yeah, you have to ladle the chimichurri onto the flap steak. And they're like, well, I... Seems good. How does? Oh, no. Get back here. So that became my job.
These were just random listeners that yes. came up, and you were telling them
Ann
how to
Brasca.
Eat.
Ann Brasco. Ann Brasco, I ladled some chimichurri sauce onto his flaps.
And directly into his mouth. Or he was doing that himself. But it was amazing that Ozzy's, I was looking for the place. I was thinking, where is this place? Is it another block away? And the window was down, and you could actually smell the flap steak smoke wafting down the street.
Richard?
Yes, Adam, how are you doing?
Richard!
What's up, sexy man?
What's going on?
Somebody's got
How's
a crush.
How's everybody doing over there?
We're doing great.
Let me tell you what. That flat steak was delicious, and Ozzy's sausage was even better.
Yes, Richard.
It was
the
delicious.
Aptly named Richard. Richard, do you work at a Home Depot?
Yes, I do. I work in the plumbing department because I like hard pipe.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I wonder how many double entendres he can do in a row.
We're going to find out.
And then check this out. So they were like, Richard, we think you need to go to another department. And I was like, well, I love back doors, so
there
I might
go.
As well just sell doors.
Three?
Mm-hmm. Three?
Mm-hmm. And go for four.
Now you're working in the closet department until you came out of the closet department
exactly.
into the plumbing department.
And they get a little bit mad because I'm a big Pinot fan, and I love to drink Pinot.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, Richard, drinking Pinot at work is just unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
So now I just drink Pinot in the bathroom at work.
You mean Pinot Noir?
Yes, Pinot Noir.
Pinot.
Mm-hmm. Not Grigio.
No, all right. No, not Grigio, no.
So,
although I'm a big fan of Zinfandel.
Really?
Yes, it's delicious.
Okay. All right, Rich. Which Home Depot do you work at?
I'm at the one in Hollywood. On the-
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, buddy. That is rough because it is essentially Ellis Island over there. You don't know what country you're in or what's up and what's down.
Home Deep Throat.
Yeah,
it is.
Nice job.
It is Home Deep Throat.
All right. Well, enjoy over there, Richard.
Thanks.
The great Oz man is here. Ozzy?
Hi, good morning.
What's up, baby doll?
I'm okay.
All right. Now, a little controversy. Ozzy, who wanted to have a heart-to-heart with me about how he thinks the next charity car wash should be ran at 6:30 last night, or I should say Friday night, when I was trying to look at my computer, and he was talking over my shoulder about ideas that would help the next one, which was, we should charge for the flap steak, right, Ozzy?
Yep.
A lot of people doing what?
Oh, my God. They say, you put a donation? Yeah, 50 cents.
50 cents they put in, and they take your delicious flap steak.
Yep.
So the next time we do this, we should start charging, right?
Yeah, put it in our price, you know, $5 for flap steak donation.
Right. A lot of people just hanging out, taking pictures, eating flap steak, living off the fat of the land.
Yeah.
Not caring about autism.
You know, it's money for charity, you know. The people need to stand, you know. It's, mm-hmm. it's for charity, for helper people, mm-hmm. for helper boy, you know. Mm-hmm. No, it's for only eating, you know.
Right. Yeah, it's not a charity for their mouth.
Yeah.
It's not a gullet charity.
For making, you know, pound in the stomach.
Right.
Make gorditos.
Yeah, that's right. Make them into gorditos. That's what he calls my dog, the gordito.
Stomach.
I'll tell you what I like about the Latin. Tell you about the Latin culture, which is nice. When a kid is fat or a dog is fat or a neighbor's fat or a coworker's fat, they call them, like, what's his nickname? Gordo. What's that mean? Fat. Oh, that sounds funny to us, Gordo, but in his language, you're just being called fat.
There's more than one name. Ozzy was telling me there are about five other synonyms for gordito, right?
He likes the gordito and the bordo de queso. It's nice.
I talked to Teresa the last time, you know, mm-hmm. for the pig, you know, the cerdo,
mm-hmm.
chancho marrano.
See?
Right. Yeah, it's essentially, if there was a heavy set woman who worked up the hall from you and you worked in South America, Central America, or Mexico, you would never, well, you call her pig.
Yeah.
Or ball of cheese.
That's her cute nickname, pig.
Yeah, what do we go? Borra le queso? What does that mean? Ball of cheese? Oh, that's great. She's a 33-year-old woman with a thyroid problem.
In reference, you know, you say gordo, you say tat.
You mean tad?
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, that's interesting. In Spanish, even.
How pleased Ozzy is.
Ozzy, I'm waiting for the rim shot.
Lose weight, get out of mom's house.
It's funny. I used to work with guys, Mexican guys, who had a fat son, like a 7-year-old, and they would just say, is this Gordon?
Nicaragua.
Oh, is this Gordon? Is this him? No, no, fat. We call him fat.
Let's call him fat.
It's great.
Gordito.
That's right. Oh, yeah, we have something we call a shame spiral. See, while he's eating his 15th churro and washing it down with horchata. Yeah. Brad?
Hey, Adam, what's up?
What's happening?
I just want to say I went out to that car wash on Friday. It was awesome. Aussie steak did not disappoint.
It did not, did it?
No. Very, very delicious.
And, you know, I've said this about Aussie's steak as well, which I think you have to factor in. When you're comparing cars, you can't compare a Rolls Royce or Bentley to a Kia. It's not fair. One is $13,000. The other is $250,000. Of course, that one's going to be better. I went to Arnie Morton's. I went to a steakhouse Friday night. I bought a steak. It was like $42, and that was a la carte. That's just the steak. And then if you want some peas with that, that's going to be an extra $9. Aussie's flap steak, I don't even know if it comes from a cow. I'm not even sure if it's part of a cow or it's part of a donkey or if it comes off the farmer's ass. I don't know where it comes from. I know it's got to be cheap because Aussie cooks it. Aussie buys it, and Aussie buys it by the pound. Yeah, the point is not only is Aussie's flap steak better than what you'd get at a steakhouse, it is less than half the price, probably a quarter or an eighth of the price. Yes, Ozzie?
Sure, man.
Nice.
Yep.
I'll tell you what Ozzie will do with you. Ozzie will get you some beans, he'll get you some rice, he'll get some tortillas, he'll get some flap steak and some chimichurri sauce. It'll cost $1.50 and you'll eat like a king. Yes? Mm-hmm.
Did this gentleman put any money in the kitty?
Wow. You know, you've just assured your next son will be born autistic.
Oh,
yes, it's true.
I think it is.
You didn't make the rules. Adam.
I didn't make the rules. No, that was that's called karma, my friend.
The rules change.
All right, buddy.
Thanks.
Thank you. Well, there you go. Another good reason why we're just going to start charging $8 a plate for the flap steak. But you learn. That's what you do. You move forward and you learn.
Yeah, Ozzy, you like the girls out there?
I'm a merry guy, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've met Ozzy's wife. She's a beautiful lady.
Yes. She stays young by cleaning my house and listening to Ozzy. And Ozzy actually has a sound for her,
really?
which I always like. I got to develop one for my wife. Eventually, the woman becomes a pet, essentially.
Like a duck whistle or something?
Yeah, like, you know, when I do with my dog. Like, you know, I do a thing and it means,
Molly,
well, it sounds the same as Kimmel making fun of Damashek, if you really break this.
Pittsburgh Penguin speaks again.
Ozzy, what is the sound you use to call Sylvia? That means it's time to leave.
What? Really?
Yes. When I hear that on Friday, about 6:30, it means me and Ozzy have settled up. And me and Sylvia said, Sylvia cleans the house because, you know, Lynette works full time. Oh, no, wait a minute. She doesn't have a child.
She does have two babies.
Yeah. Okay. But before that, anyway, here's the point. She comes because she's a beautiful hard worker. She's cleaning the house. Ozzy, about 6:30, settles up, gives me his beats on the week. How can we, you know, improve the radio show? And then it's time to leave. And as Ozzy stands up in order to find his wife in my house, he makes this sound. And that means it's time to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's effective.
Mm-hmm.
But you, unless I'm mistaken, she speaks Spanish too, right? Couldn't you just say, Sylvia, let's go?
I don't see, you know. I think, you know, in the wire, you know, I call Sylvia.
I'm telling you, having a sound for your friend or mate or whatever is a great look. When you're at a dog park and your dog's just running around with a whole bunch of other dogs that chase you a frisbee and you need your dog to come back, you can't just stand and yell, hey, you got to have your dog sound to get your dog back. I had a friend who had a, he would go, he had a whistle for me. And it worked good. You'd be at a party or you'd be wherever, and all of a sudden you just hear that. And you turn, you just perk up, your ears perk up, you turn around, and you'd walk over, you go find the person. We should all have our own sounds.
Mm-hmm. Hmm? I like that, yeah, it's true.
See, the only thing.
That's all she understands.
Believe me, if she's home and she's listening by the radio, she just perked up right now and started scratching at the front door.
She's on her way over.
She's excited.
Can Ozzy do that that when we have to go to break, that little sound? Go ahead.
Yes, Ozzy, do it. Good. That'll be the sound that means it's time to go to break. You know, it'll be like in boxing, 10 seconds. 10 seconds left in the round where they whacked on the mat. Okay. We'll take a quick break. T, what's in the news, baby doll?
Well, unfortunately, there was a plane crash, and very unfortunately, the Emmys also opened with a plane crash. We'll talk about both and more Emmy recap.
All right. Also, Joey Chestnut, American hot dog eating champ, almost got Kobayashi over at the Nathan's 4th of July competition. We'll talk to him. Also, Dennis Hoff, he's the owner of the Bunny Ranch. He's a guy featured in...
Cat House,
yeah. Excellent. Love to talk to him. Our prisoner is calling in from the California State Prison. We can't say his name or what prison. That's why we always call him the prisoner. And that's why we always just say California State Prison. Talk to him as well. All that, more Emmy talk, but news after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up this morning on The Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, suckers? We got a hell of a show for you today. Ozzy's going to be in to review the number one movie in America, Invincible. Also, we got eating champion Joey Jaws Chestnut. He's going to help train Ted for a rib eating competition. And a close personal friend of mine, the owner of the Bunny Ranch. Hey, Jack spent more time at the Bunny Ranch than the health inspector. Silver, out!
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Trying to find Oswaldo, who was one Amex. Thank you. So that's when Mexican guy goes AWOL. Yeah. He took off. We're going to find him because we got a little movie review to do with him. Amanda?
Yes.
You were saying your mom had a whistle for you. In the last break, I was saying that Ozzy has the noise for his wife that he uses when it's time for her to hustle out to the Ford F-150 that I co-signed for. He makes a big click. It's a sound. It's essentially sound that, I don't know, dolphins make. It works underwater as well as it does.
Echolocution.
On terra firma, yeah. It helps them. What it does is it stuns the mackerel and helps them corral them so they can have an eating frenzy in my kitchen. But isn't this Amanda?
Yes, it is.
Oh, this Amanda. Sorry. It's the Boston song, Amanda. I was thinking Ozzy's wife's name Sylvia, not Amanda. Anyway, so your mom had a whistle for you?
Yes.
What
whistle for us.
What was it?
It was just a really loud whistle that she would do. I really can't do it.
Wow. Okay, thank you. But it was loud.
Oh, look who I see.
Scintillating. My dad had a sound for me and my sister. It was a sound of what sounded like a diesel air horn going off until my younger brother responded to an actual diesel air horn and was smashed. And then he went back to the whistle.
That seems like an ill-conceived idea.
It, at the time, it seemed fine, but after, on retrospect, you know, hindsight, 2020. Ozzy?
I'm here.
Yeah, that's right. You're here. You're back. Where'd you go, buddy?
I got ticket number 2.
All right. Thank you. I know you usually save that for my house.
Candor.
You ready? You ready to do your movie review, Ozzy?
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear it. That's why we had your review.
Oswaldo. Tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
The movie I saw this weekend was Invincible, starring Mark Wahlberg.
No. Mark who?
Wahlberg.
Wahlberg.
Wow.
Wahlberg.
The Invincible is a true film in history. The Invincible.
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 Perhaps this has not come up in your life before, but we over here, stateside,
Invincible.
We do the V. We make a V sound.
V.
Right. Hey, here's all I'm saying. Not picking apart your people or your language, but you've been in this country for how long, Ozzy?
20 years.
20 years. All right, somewhere around day number two when you're here, this must have come up, where when you see a V, you don't pronounce it the way you would pronounce a B, a V, which is like a B. You would pronounce it something. So at least do it anyway, but the way you would do it. That I think that's what my overall message was, would be, it would have to be different than the way you would instinctively do it, right?
Yep.
All right, so what movie did you see?
Invisible.
There you go. That's right. Hit the B harder.
Yeah, true film in history. Based in one guy, I think, is Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Or Italian origin.
He was an Italian guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This guy did not play college football. Mm-hmm. And he is selected over 100 people to play for the Eagles after the Eagles have a bad season.
Mm-hmm.
He pumped the team better than a professional player.
He did what to the team?
Pumped.
He pumped the team?
Yeah.
All right.
Better to the professional player.
Oh, my God. Wait.
So he pumped everyone on the team or just?
Pumped the team, you know.
Yeah, okay. Pushing. Push him.
For better.
For better. All right. Or for worse, a lot would
argue. Determination to be successful versus what the wife say.
His wife?
Yeah, the wife, you know, leaving him and leaving not, you know, he no make money, he no find a job. Mm-hmm. And he read every day, you know, the note, you know.
Mm-hmm.
After his superation and make a point for taking in the team.
Right.
It's inspiration.
Inspirational, yeah.
I'll say invincible, let this reviewer call.
Wow, it sounded like you liked it for a second.
We hope you did not end up too confused. Oh, no,
no. Did I say something, you know, for
please.
My friend, my good friend, you know, Lynette Carola.
Mm-hmm.
They have a birthday the last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It's the mother of the two. It's your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Happy
That's
birthday,
your wife,
Lynette.
Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That's a happy birthday.
The last Saturday.
Thank you. Yeah. It was nice when on her birthday I was yelling at her to hurry up and get dressed. We're going to be late for Kimmel's house, who was throwing a party for his buddy Kalita. Come on, let's go. Let's go. It's a good moment. Hey, by the way, if you think I'm carrying the presents out to the Volvo, you're sorely mistaken, woman. Let's go.
Well, let's
make sure
talk
you got
Kalita
something nice.
Let's talk about that. First of all, I noticed at one point there was a second cake there for Lynette's birthday in addition to Kalita's.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you brought that cake?
No. Jimmy is very thoughtful.
Did you get a present?
Did I? No, it's not my birthday.
Did you
Hers.
Get a present for your wife?
I don't want her to get me anything.
Did you buy her something?
Yes, I had my assistant buy her something. Yes, I did.
Do you know what it was?
I know what size it was. I know what it wasn't.
How about when the candles were lit for Lynette's cake? And everybody sang the happy birthday song. Were you right next to her?
I was holding court. Well, in the courtyard, actually. I was on a roll. I was not going to break it up by blowing out some candles.
Number two,
we've
number
heard
one.
That song a million times anyway. We don't need to hear it again.
Well,
I got to tell you the problem with the Saturday birthdays. It turns into the birthday weekend. We went out Friday night. She was complaining about what was going on Saturday. I then, after a couple glasses of wine, had to do that thing where it's like, it's no big deal. It's just your birthday. And in which case, that was echoed back to me three or four times on the ride home. But my problem is I celebrate my birthday once a year as well and hope no one remembers and hope it'll just slide under the radar. It's not really low self-esteem. It's just weird kind of hassle. Hey, man, happy birthday. You know, I know no one knows. No one cares. We all are having every... Look... Charles Manson celebrates a birthday every year. We all share that. All who are alive share that. We're not so interested in other people's, and I'm not even interested in my own. So then when the spouse wants to turn it into a weekend celebration, it's hard. I don't play along that well. Look, we'll go out to dinner, and we'll celebrate your birthday, and then we'll move on. We got Cleto's birthday tomorrow. My, Lynette was doing... a birthday tour, like when Kareem retired the entire year. He'd show up Boston Garden, get a rocking chair and a Harley. I think that's how she thought. It's more of a more Hanukkah than it is a birthday. It's going to take place over eight days or so. Not for the Ace Man. I'll give you half a day on Friday, and then we can move forward.
Yes, I agree.
Not well received.
Society has turned. A lot of people would like it to be this way. It's not. It's a birthday fortnight now. People celebrate forever.
I will also say that I'll give you a nice one on your first birthday, although you'll not remember it. Then we'll hit the decade stuff. You know, 21st birthday, get a good one, get good and loaded. 30th, possibly 40th, maybe 50th, that kind of stuff. But 36th, 37th, we can keep moving with that one, at least in my estimation. Again, not well received on the ride home from Morton's, but what are you going to do? We'll take ourselves a little break. Ozzy, nice job. Let me say this quickly about Invincible, as you call it. True story, you know, they're trotting out the real guy, and it's all inspirational and everything. But in the movie, I hear he scores a touchdown, which he did not do in real life.
You're kidding me.
That's
ridiculous.
I was
going to
say we could ask Ozzy, but that Ozzy.
Did he score a touchdown?
Yep.
He did.
He make a suppose in the movie, you know.
Well, you saw the movie, right?
Yep.
Did he make a touchdown?
Yep.
So he take it a touchdown?
Yeah, he take it a touchdown.
Oh, okay. See, in real life, he didn't do it, which then screws up everything because everyone goes, well, give him some artistic license. They get, you know, it's not a documentary about, yeah, but the whole selling point of the movie is it's a real guy. If it's not a real guy, then it's just no interest whatsoever, right?
That's outrageous that they fake that.
It really is, isn't it?
Yes, that's ridiculous.
In the movie Rudy, they didn't have to fake anything.
Well,
it was still good.
Unclear whether he got the sack or not. We'll have to figure that out.
He did
get the sack.
It was brought up at Kimmel's party, I guess, actually, there was a guy who did a Damashek impersonation who I actually thought was Damashek, so I guess it was him I was talking to the entire time. point is, if you do a movie, like if you're doing a movie about flight whatever that's supposed to be flying into the White House on 9/11, but the Americans commandeer the plane and then land it safely at the end at Logan. Well, that's not really what happened, is it? If you're going to announce we're making a movie about this actual event and you should be inspired because this is a true story, you can't have the guy take one to the house if in fact he never did.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. The more you know.
It was number one at the box office, $17 million.
Yep. Ozball.
Yes.
Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome, man.
You can either go to your home and start drinking or go to my house and start drinking.
Either
way. Your home.
You go to my home?
I refill the old freezer, you know, for take it ready.
Yeah,
later.
That's right, buddy.
Baby.
Nice job, buddy. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break. Then news in sports. Tea?
Yes,
quick tease.
Lots of Emmy talk, including the one person who swore at the Emmys that you never would have expected to swear, and I'll have that for you.
After this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on The Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Miami, Florida. A man was charged with two counts of battery on a police officer and disorderly intoxication for kicking an airport police officer in the groin after his flight was canceled. The intoxicated man was a Miami City Commissioner. Definitely not a Jew.
How about the genius who called in a bomb threat to one of the planes
because
he was PO'd that he couldn't get
it?
Well, at first I thought it's because he didn't want to miss it, and then I realized I think it's because he did miss it, and it was even worse. I mean, at least you had motivation if you called in the bomb threat to buy yourself another hour so you could get to the airport. He was there and missed the flight. The plane was in the air. They had to turn the flight around and bring it in. Guys like that, it's weird. See, I don't draw a big distinction between the guy who pulled a gun on someone, squeezed the trigger, and it jammed, rather, as opposed to if it went off and killed the person. Either way, they tried to do something that was horribly destructive. These guys should just get everything the law can throw at them. Really, the plane's already taken off, and it's gone. He did it out of spite. And they interviewed his buddies, and his buddies were like, yeah, that wasn't cool. Here's the deal. Your buddies are supposed to talk you out of stupid ass. They're supposed to get you not to do stupid things to women you're not really attracted to when you're loaded, and they're there to stop you from picking up an airport phone. He used the courtesy phone or something at the airport. Genius.
That was a discourteous bomb threat. Phone.
Yes. Nice job.
Thank you.
All right. Possibly a candidate for Dave's jerk report. I'm not telling you how to make out the list, Dave, but I'm just saying.
Writing it down as we
speak. Yes, or the buddies who didn't talk him out of it.
Yes. All right, T. What's in the news, baby doll?
Well, speaking of flights, in Lexington, Kentucky, a commuter jet was trying to take off on a runway that was too short. It crashed, killing 49 people, leaving the lone survivor, which was the co-pilot, in critical condition. This, according to federal investigators. It's not clear how the pilot ended up on the wrong runway, which was too short, but the crash does mark this country's worst domestic plane crash in 5 years.
He turned in. He had to go down, make a left, and take off, and there was one that was like 7,000 feet, and he did the one on the 3,500-foot length. Seemed like the kind of thing that would happen three times a day in airports all over the country. It's just he turned left onto essentially a runway before his runway.
Yeah, it does happen. It happened in Singapore back in 2000, and 83 people were killed. So it does happen from time to time. Mm. It's obviously very sad for everyone who died, but in particular, there's a really sad story about a former minor league baseball player named John Hooker. I think he played at University of Kentucky. He and his wife, well, they were married for one day. They got married the night before, and then they both died on the crash. It was a very sad story.
Yeah, it was coming out to honeymoon. I think it's coming out to Los Angeles.
Yes, that's right.
It's always weird when one guy survives. It's unclear how bad the guy is, the co-pilot is. Evidently not well. But it's weird when one guy survives, and then it's got to be weird walking around as that one guy, if in fact you fully recover. In World War II, the Bismarck, big German Bismarck ship, sunk the Hood, which was a English ship. And the Hood had like 1,500 and something sailors, or souls, as they become when they go out to sea. On board, three guys survived. Now, that's not one out of 100. That's there'll be one for every 500 souls on the ship that's going to survive. One of you.
Weird.
How weird is that, living on a ship with 1,600 people or something in that number? These guys are your bunk mates. These guys are the guys you're eating with and playing cards with. And then all of a sudden, there's a hit from a couple of torpedoes or a couple of cannons. Next thing you know, it's you and three guys floating out in the water. Well, where's everyone else? David Jones Locker. Deep six.
I think they get survivor guilt pretty badly.
It'd be weird. It's the only... There's 1 minute, there's 1,500 of you next history.
I was thinking if I'm ever going, here's my big plan. If a plane's ever going down and I'm on board, I'm going to
jump right as it hits the ground.
It's going just not just before.
Just before.
Right. 8-10 feet above the ground as it's just before. Out the door. Just before. And then
the door.
I see.
I thought you meant just jump in the air like I'm going to do when the elevator gives way.
No. Just like I'm going to time it just so, like 20 feet, 15 feet, 10 feet. Then I'm going to jump out. Mm. Do a shoulder roll.
Like Schwarzenegger in Commando.
Right.
When he was hanging on the landing gear. Yeah.
Well, it was an awkward situation. I don't know if you watched the Emmys last night. And there's no way, obviously, Conan O'Brien could have ever known that there was going to be a plane crash hours before. But the very opening of the Emmy Awards, there was a very funny montage where Conan finds himself in various Emmy-nominated shows. But the first scene is he's on a plane. And he says, I've got to get to the Emmys. I've got to get to the Emmys. I'm hosting the Emmys. And then the plane crashes.
Yes.
And then ends up on the show Lost, and ends up on the show House. I don't know what that was, Brian.
It was an attack, is what it was.
I don't either, but
you
yes.
Just attacked my news.
I was thinking about how unfortunate it was, and I don't know. Look, there are plane crashes. People have died in the past. This is bad timing, obviously, but I heard outraged, talk show radio hosts screaming about it last night and this morning. And I thought, does anyone really have that strong an opinion over it? Bad timing at best. It's not as if he caused the accident somehow. And then they're like, NBC could have pulled that. It would have made, maybe. But let me say this. No, it's not going to bring back, obviously, the people that were lost in the accident. And it went on all of 14 seconds before he then got into the thing. And unfortunately, was at the beginning of it and was necessary to lead you into the bit.
It launched the bit. Now, the Emmy Awards, a few big surprises and a few things that were expected. Kiefer Sutherland won for Best Actor in a Drama, 24 won for Best Drama. The Office won, which I thought was surprising, for Best Comedy. Grey's Anatomy and Lost both shut out. And probably the biggest surprise, Julia Louis-Dreyfus for The New Adventures of Old Christine. Here she is, sounding very shocked herself.
Well, I'm not somebody who really believes in curses. But curse this, maybe.
She's speaking, of course, of the Seinfeld curse.
Mm.
That all of those that were on Seinfeld went on to have failed careers. But I have not watched this show. I couldn't tell you when it's on, The New Adventures of Old Christine.
No.
Anyone seen it?
No, I've seen enough commercials for it to sort of get a mosaic of it and feel, but it feels very sitcom-y to me. I'm evidently better than most, but to me that sitcom format, at least as seen on one of the big three, was dead to me 10 years ago. Just not interested in the laugh track and, you know, facing the, you know, out toward the audience and the whole bit. Just feels stale and worn, and it in fact is 50 years old, and it sort of feels that way to me.
Absolutely. Now, you always know that somebody's going to go off the rails and swear, but you're just not expecting it to be Helen Mirren.
Really?
Yeah. Now, she was...
I don't even know who she is.
She's an actress. She was in Prime Suspect. Is that the right show?
Mm-hmm.
Prime, whatever's on PBS. She's an older actress, mm-hmm. very beautiful. She was in a miniseries, Elizabeth the First, and she gets up the stairs, and here's how she begins her speech.
My great triumph was not falling over as I came up those stairs. If you saw the shoes I've got on, you'd understand.
She was talking about her heels, that she didn't fall. Can you say the word for tush?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so sound like she said.
Okay, so she said, my great triumph was I didn't fall ass over teats.
Ah, I see. Yes.
And I guess it's a British expression.
Nice.
And God bless her.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jeremy Piven was saying he would be a fluffer.
Yes.
Which I'm not sure if the guy who had his finger on the button knew what to make of that one. But if you do the math, probably worse than the ass over teats
I think so
discussion.
Too. Well, I was thinking whoever had their finger on the button, when Helen Mirren wins, you go out and have a cigarette.
Yeah.
And you feel pretty confident.
Now you
confident.
Do a couple of rails in the men's room. No problem there. That's on the schedule.
Right. Now, also Conan, who was very funny. You might think, you know, all of the good Mel Gibson jokes have been taken. It's over. There's no funny Mel Gibson joke left, but I like this one.
TV is bigger than ever right now. Even movie stars have TV shows these days. Alec Baldwin has a new show on NBC. James Woods has a new show on CBS. And Mel Gibson has a new show on Al Jazeera.
Not bad.
Yes, as much as I'd love to hate Conan because of past run-ins we've had and the curse that I put on him in his career, it doesn't seem to have worked out. He's a puss.
Really?
Yes.
What did he do to you?
Well, here's what he did. And no one ever talks about late night game show or hosts or late night TV hosts. I guess I'm the only one ever says anything about it. I guess because they want to get invited back to the show. Maybe that's not a great career strategy. But I've always been willing to let people know what goes on sort of behind the scenes. You know, Letterman, maniacal, you know, I guess a good guy, but a tortured guy. And his staff is scared to death of him.
And he was beaten last night by Barry Manilow in his category.
Well, good, because his staff is scared assless of him, as I've learned from doing his
and
show a few
Conan's
times.
And story?
Conan, what happened with me and Conan is Dr. Drew and I did Conan many years ago, and it went fine. And then a couple years later, I did Conan alone, and minus Dr. Drew. And before you do one of these shows, you have a segment producer, and you go over all the stuff. You're going to talk about flying in. You're going to talk about whatever the topic is. You just had a kid, or you just broke up, or you just got married. Whereas, and you work it all out, and then the host knows what it is, and
they
he asks.
You in.
And they lead you in. So how was the flight over? I heard you just had twins. You know, you do all that. And I did what I had planned to do. A little bit racy, but the show's on at 12:30 at night. You know, by the time I hit the stage, it's 1:10 in the morning or something. Come on. And the audience just happened to have a few too many ladies in there, and they were taken well to the Ace Man's body blue humor. And at a certain point, I was like, I yelled at him. Listen, you bitter lesbians, relax and let me get through my stuff, you know. And Conan sort of did this thing where he kind of slid his chair back and he went like, Adam Carolla, everybody, I have no responsibility. You know, I'm not going to help him dig his way out of this ditch. He's on his own. So I was on my own. And I went back and looked at it, and it was funny. I was getting into it with the audience. I was getting a lot of reaction out of them. And maybe one day I'll bring it in. It wasn't bad at all. And then I was never asked back on the show, though, I think, because of the content. Although it was all the stuff I discussed
right,
with them.
Pre-approved.
Pre-approved stuff. Conan was aware of it. And then about 3 years later, it was 9/11. It was a couple weeks after 9/11. And Jimmy and I, because we're heroes, were in New York to do the Hugh Hefner roast, which was, you know, inexplicably just a couple weeks after 9/11. I'm sure not planned that way, but what are you going to do? It's on the schedule. And all the shows in New York, based out of New York, were dying for guests because nobody would get on a plane and fly to New York City. Jimmy and I were there, and Conan invited Jimmy to come on the show. And Jimmy said, well, I'll only do it if me and my bud Adam do it together. And they said, oh, no, we don't do teams. We don't do pairs. We don't do couples. And I thought, well, that's funny because I have, in fact, done the show with my other team member, which is something I don't think they could have anticipated. Oh, this guy has another partner who he's done the show with a couple years ago. But in fact, I was that one guy. So obviously it was BS, and obviously then went on. And they're just kind of pusses about the whole thing. That's all.
You were snubbed, and I don't care for that.
Yes, I don't. But it takes a big man to admit when, I wasn't wrong. I put the pox on his career, but it didn't work out. He was
still
funny.
Not.
He was very funny last night, and I enjoyed the monologue, the song, and everything.
And we are actually going to play you the song if you missed it, and more Emmy talk later. But for now, I'm Teresa Strasser, and that is the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one. Sports! Do it, Dave.
Well, we better talk about our national pastime while we can because there's a month left in the season, but let's be honest.
Yeah.
After this week, it's football season.
All gone.
Ooh la la. Very rough week on the road playing division foes for the Dodgers, but they were able to stop the bleeding over the weekend. Jeff Kent pulled a win out over the Snakes in the ninth inning on Saturday night with a home run. Then yesterday, Bums win. While the Padres lost in Colorado, Bums now with a two-game lead on them Padres in the NL West. So maybe it'll be the Bums, maybe it'll Padres. I think the thing that we can all agree on is that nobody wants to see Barry the Creep make it to the postseason. However, he and his gigantic pals have now won 11 of the last 14. They're just 3.5 back in the division. Senior Circuit wild card standings. Padres a half game back of the Cincies. Giants only 2 back. Junior Circuit. Halos are going to need a big month to catch them Athletics. Halos and A's both took 2 of 3 over the weekend. Mariners used the Trident to sweep the Bostons out of Seattle and perhaps even the playoffs.
Here's how you know your sport sucks. The second football season starts up, as you brought up, it's immediately gone. It's a gone, and it's erased like a shaken etch a sketch in the hearts and minds of all true Americans. And no one gives a rat's ass about your boring sport anymore because an exciting sport has now come to take its place. Even the first game of the season or the second game of the season means nothing when the playoffs are heating up in your sport, but we could care less. Let's just pray the Red Sox don't make it in.
They're not gonna. It doesn't look like
good. So we don't have to be distracted over Kimmel. Over Kimmel's house with all the Sox fans.
Well, I happen to disagree. Obviously, I prioritize football over the pastime, but it just makes my heart and mind, they're both are big enough that I can fit both sports in, not to mention some hockey.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing I haven't been interested in, and I've been getting a fair amount of emails about this, Dave, why aren't you talking about the Little League World Series? Here's why. Because I don't like it.
Why not?
Because it's almost like watching the people play cards on TV and like women play basketball. It's boring. But more importantly, I feel bad for those kids. It puts them under a terrible amount of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the upside is you make a diving catch and have that on video for the rest of your life. But imagine being an 11-year-old kid if the ball goes through your leg and you cost your team the game. Listen, that ruined me in fifth grade when I did that in a meaningless game when I was on the... when I was on the Rockets with the green and gold uniforms. Very ugly and a bad name for a team. The ball went through my legs, and the team like all got angry at me because we lost to the mighty Yankees.
Well, I agree in the sense that no one wants to watch the Fakakta tournament going on with the Texas Hold'em. I mean, there's nothing worse than watching people playing cards. And the only reason you would watch someone play cards is a buddy of yours was in the tournament and had a bunch of money going. Same with the Little League. If your son is in the game, then you watch Little League. If not, you're a pedophile.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch Little League, if you just, hey, I'm going to head to the park. What are you going to do? I got a sixer of Strohs, and I'm just going to watch the kids play.
Yeah, it's worse.
You're a weird pedophile, right?
Yes, but I mean, just the idea that these kids, when they drop the fly ball and they look, it's more uncomfortable looking at them than it was looking at Farrah Fawcett trying to tribute Aaron Spelling last night.
And then spending the lion's share of their adult life greeting folks at a Jiffy Lube is going to be quite a letdown.
All right, listen, there's one more award to give out from last night's Emmy Awards. Let it begin.
Mm. Oh, also, let me say this quickly. Hold on a second. They have nothing on those shows. The Little League World Series, they don't have any real... The guy's 11 years old, so they don't have anything. So it's like, favorite food by Johnny Finnegan, mac and cheese. Where's my fantasy Little League eating chart? Let me fill that out. Favorite foods.
What about that one huge kid, though? That's kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah, 6'8", plays for Saudi Arabia.
There you go.
Perfect.
Yes, very straight.
All right, sorry. Mac and cheese.
All right, let's go with this award. This award, we heard best actor, we heard best show, so on and so forth. This, the foxiest attendant of the Emmys last night. There are a number of people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see what you think.
All right. The first nominee. And by the way, you're not going to hear Heidi Klum's name on this list.
Good.
She's knocked up. That's her problem.
Right.
Maria Menounos.
Oh, yeah.
Of whatever entertainment show she does. What a woman she is.
Hate her.
Only thing you don't want her to do is, if you ever have seen her interviewed, is laugh.
No.
What happens there?
Well, you know when the slide whistle is making the... It's when it makes the slide whistle sound.
Yes.
That's what sounds like when she starts laughing.
However...
And that's also what happens downstairs when you hear it.
That's what I'm saying.
She is a fox, though.
Mm-hmm.
Next nominee, Evangeline Lilly.
She looks gorgeous.
What a woman.
Yeah.
She is.
Hubba.
She's a gorgeous woman, built a little like a teenage boy in the bod department, though, but it's a spectacular puss on her.
Mm-hmm. I go back and forth on this next nominee all the time, Jamie Presley. Last night she looked foxy to me. I don't like that voice of hers, though.
She's, I've met her a time or two. A little nutty, a little white trashy.
Mm. I think she celebrates that, though, and so she gets points for that.
Right.
And lastly, another woman whose personality I don't think I really like, but Ellen Pompeo, the star of Grey's Anatomy.
Very thin.
Yeah, yes. a little thin, yeah.
Very thin, but she's foxy in movies like Old School and stuff, and that's really where she's getting her points
from. I want to add a nominee, Jacqueline Smith. She looks amazing. She doesn't age.
She is. First of all, she looked like she had plastic surgery to me. No?
Well, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Fair enough.
Blue, you're my boy!
Consider her added.
Thank you.
All right, here we go.
I don't think she's going to win.
The winner is...
Put it in an envelope.
Wait a second. It's a write-in candidate. She wasn't even at the actual Emmy. She was seated next to me the entire night. My beautiful bride, Cindy.
What was she wearing? A Vera Wang or Alexander McQueen?
Nothing at all.
That's right. And later, just Wang.
You see, Adam? Just say, that's a nice birthday present.
That's
You're right. Cindy, don't listen to this. I mean, I made that crap up, but she doesn't know. Just say the same thing about Lynette.
Should have done that.
Dave Dameshek's number one sports.
We wasted 5 minutes to find out if Dave likes his wife.
That's nice.
I liked it.
We will take ourselves a break. Joey Chestnut, he is the American hot dog eating champ. A dog and a half away from unseating Kobayashi at last year's Nathan's famous 4th of July International Dog Eating Competition. He's going to be in here. He's going to show us his technique. Also, he's coaching Big Tad, who's entering a rib eating contest coming up in Reno
on Wednesday.
So we'll talk to him, we'll talk to Tad, we'll talk to you after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. The Adam Carolla Show welcomes America's last hope in competitive eating. Could he take down the Japanese champ?
I'm the only American person who could do it.
Joey Chestnut went head-to-head, dog for dog, on the 4th of July.
The day Jesus died.
With the heavily favored Kobayashi.
And they are underway. Right in the center of that line will be Kobayashi. Can Chestnut pull it out in the last? What a great eater, though, and what a man to energize the American eating fans.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And the winner is...
And Kobayashi takes it again. Unbelievable, but Joey Chestnut gave him an amazing fight.
No way!
Here's the guy who took second in the 4th of July hot dog eating contest, Joey Chestnut, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome to the show, Joey.
Great to be here.
I believe we spoke to Joey on the phone a few months back. He's going to train our own Big Tad, who has a rib eating contest in Reno. But every time Big Tad sits down at the table, it's an eating contest. At least that's the way he approaches it.
I think, by the way, it took a lot of guts for Joey to show up here this morning after he shamed our country the way he did.
Oh.
He did it. He did this Kobayashi. Somebody.
It's like the Rocky story.
Somebody's got to put some strychnine in one of those dogs and take this kid down because I'm tired of being humiliated by him year in and year out. How many years in a row does he have this Nathan's hot dog eating contest?
That's number six.
That's number six.
Yeah.
And he goes, he did bulk up a little bit, but he goes about 160 pounds, right?
Yeah, that man, that's all he does for a living is eat and work out in the gym.
Ah, I see. He's like one of the Cuban boxers.
Yeah, it's
a full-time gig for him, whereas you have to go in and punch the clock.
Yeah, I work for a construction company, project engineer, and I finished my civil engineering degree.
Right.
So I'm so having fun.
You have you're a true amateur in a certain sense, whereas he's doing it full-time.
Yeah, I'm an amateur that's I haven't lost to an American in 6 months.
You haven't?
No.
It's weird that there's no correlation between size and the ability to eat mass quantities of food in a short period of time. You just think, well, 400-pound guy would just have the edge. But for some reason, doesn't seem to work
that
way.
It's more health. You have to be healthy to eat that much.
You do.
You have to be able to push your body.
You have to be strong.
You have to be able to, your body has to be willing to accept that much food.
But Joey looks like an athlete. He doesn't look like a big fat guy.
No, it says here he's 230 pounds, but he doesn't even look that big. He looks quite fit.
He fluctuates quite a bit. I'm getting ready for some big contests.
You do?
Yeah.
And so the weight goes up before a big contest.
It goes up. But no, actually it goes down because I'm trying to lose a little bit of body fat, trying to make sure my skin stretches easily.
Oh, is that how it works? So what is preparation for a hot dog eating? Let's just focus on Coney Island for a moment.
Coney Island? Oh, that was months. It took a long time to make my body feel comfortable with that many hot dogs in it.
Well, what do you do on a daily basis? I mean, you just head down to a Wiener Schnitzel and go sick every day for lunch? Like, how do you train for it? And then what do you do 2 days before or a day before?
Well, training for hot dogs, I train twice a week, usually not eat for a day and a half. Yeah, just live off protein shakes, and then the day of my training run, eat 40, 45 hot dogs.
Oh, really?
Not eating the day after. Then have one normal day eating. So I did that for about a month and a half.
Ruska does that same thing, except he doesn't skip the day of meal.
So my body's absorbing a lot of the nutrients. But it's kind of unhealthy. It's in that aspect, it's pretty unhealthy. But, I try to work out whenever I can and have fun.
Now... The time limit, now he did 53 3/4 hot dogs. That includes the buns in 12 minutes. First off, do you know why 12 minutes? Why not 10 minutes or why not 15 minutes? 12 seems arbitrary.
The first contest was held like 92 years ago, and that's when everybody gave up. They said, 12 minutes is enough.
Oh, I see. So it just stuck at that point. Yeah. You remember what it was?
Oh, 16.
16.
Yeah, we've come up a lot. Like baseball. Mm-hmm. Come a long way.
By some guy named Gentleman O'Sullivan or something. He probably had some great name, and he ate 16 dogs. Was the toast of the town. Yes,
well,
Damashek.
Like baseball, is there now a drug policy in place? Because this, to me, seems to be the linchpin to victory.
If there was a drug, I'd be taking it.
No. Why not? Why don't you just smoke a lot of drugs just beforehand and work up the big appite?
Nah,
you know, the munchies.
Like
wouldn't that
save
work?
Room for a pot brownie before you hit that stage.
Why wouldn't that work?
It wouldn't work. It's much more fast paced than you would.
Look, I hate to bring up his name, but I've seen Kimmel. We've all seen Kimmel on a half a pot brownie, that boy. What he ate. When we went over to Snoop Dogg's house, he brought him a baker's dozen of corn muffins and demolished them all, including the basket, inside of 20 minutes. I'm telling you, it works. I could win. Hold on. We have Kobayashi on the phone. He doesn't like what Joey's been saying. Kobe?
Joey Chestnut, sir, you should not even train because you're a big loser.
Oh, no. Now, these are fighting words. Listen, Kobayashi. Oh, look, he's training right now.
Commitment.
I'm sounds like he's on sausage. Real dog, sir.
Wow.
Real dog, sir.
Kobayashi. I got to say that I think my man Joey's going to beat you next 4th of July.
That is a shame, Adam Carolla, that you are a big loser like a Joey.
Joey, can you beat Kobayashi?
Oh, yeah. I've come a long way. He's just a little guy. He's going to get beaten.
But you said that last time and you couldn't beat him. Unless he's amused.
Joey! What are you talking about, sir?
I beat him in a one-minute contest once.
You are not a hot dog. You are a hot bitch.
Oh, wow. Those are fighting words.
Oh, that is a funny.
Next time I see him, I'm going to hit him. He's not going to go, what happened?
Yes. I was born to eat the hot dog.
I understand.
The reason why I was born on the year of the dog.
I see.
That day was a very hot. I don't know if you get it, but it was one hot. Dog.
No, I did the math about 4 minutes ago. That is huge.
Oh, Joey Chestnut is a CC.
Oh, I called you a CC.
Hey, I got a bet for you, Joey. How about if this time you win, I retire. But if I win, I give your wife a foot-long hot dog.
You're Asian, man.
Wow.
Always give her cocktail weenie.
Not
he's,
a,
he's obsessed with frankfurters. I gotta say,
you are a CC.
I've not heard Kobayashi speak until this point.
If anyone thinks I eat a hot dog with the water, I eat it with the sake.
Well, it is true. You do have to dunk the bun, right?
Yes, you do have a dunk. But I dunk in a sake.
Wow. Joey, I got to tell you, work is cut out for you next year.
Joey, just
yeah,
to retire,
a little pressure.
Go back to being a fat.
I called you fat.
Joey, a chestnut is a loser.
All right, Kobayashi, thanks for calling in.
One thing I want to say.
Yeah.
I eat a hot dog so much, I poop in links. And then I eat them again.
Oh, Jesus. Wow. He is a maniacal, driven man. He's a foe with one thing on his mind. He's obsessed with hot dogs and you.
Yeah, I'm going to beat him, though. It's
okay. I don't know. Here's a man who defecates lynx. I mean, I don't know if he's kidding or exaggerating, but I believe him. And then he eats him again.
It's definitely for fun. Next year is going to be a battle.
All right. Like I said, I think you're having a good time about it. I feel like Kobayashi's never been more serious.
Yeah, you're under two hot dogs behind him.
Yeah. And normally a man a few words, I would say, but this time a very gregarious Kobayashi.
And we also, the other thing we have to talk about, too, at some point is the scandal. Kobayashi, for all his bluster, threw up during the competition.
Did he?
It was a little bit questionable. Yeah, it came out of his nose and mouth a little bit, but he reached in his cup and ate it back up.
So
he got the job done.
Heart of a lion.
Now, but when you puke, you're out, though, right?
He you know, it was a tough call to make. And
what are the rules exactly?
Usually, it's supposed to be if you barf at all, you're out. And but things come out of your mouth, things come out of your nose when you're pushing yourself really hard.
Sure.
And it was questionable. It's all right. I mean, I'm not sore about it at all.
And is the rule that if it comes out of you and hits the table, kind of, I mean, if you just barf, you're out, yeah, right? Do they have a bucket next to everyone?
No, we're all pretty good. I've never barfed. Most of the guys at the table have never barfed.
So he starts to barf. It comes out, but it lands in his catch tray.
No, in his cup.
And in his dunking, in his sake cup, as we now found out.
Yeah, sake.
And he then consumes that.
He just reached in, scooped it up. It was like, oh, it's over with. So
I feel so sick right now. I really do.
He just took care of business.
All right. So you're going to do a demonstration for us, yes?
Looks like I got a couple hot dogs here.
We're going to take a break, but you say you can eat three dogs in how long?
Three dogs, probably about good 15 seconds, maybe.
15 Whoa. Seconds. Yeah. Three dogs in 15 seconds. All right. We'll find out whether you can do that or not. Also, you'll be training Big Tad, who's entering the rib eating contest in Reno. This is why the rest of the world hates us. We come up with eating contests to amuse ourselves. Meanwhile, they're just living in drought, dust bowls, famine. They're living off of dung beetles and dried roots from two seasons before, and we're barfing up our 53rd hot dog. Yeah, golf courses.
Yeah, we're the most gluttonous country, and we don't even own this sport. Japan does.
So sad. And again, Kobayashi, as much as I hate the guy, and now I hate him even more. I mean, with a passion, you have to tip your cap to him. He wins every year. Yeah. He's a champion. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Joey Chestnut. He's going to eat three dogs in 15 seconds or less. Tell me, did I see
your favorite laugh about that? 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Mountain Dew and custard. Dripping from Big Dad's chin. Bologna-filled man boobs, rolls of sweaty fat. His mouth is like a vacuum, sucking all the groceries down. Bacon and eggs, man. Sausage and eggs, man. Tad is a walrus. Big tub of goo.
There we go. Really? Joey Chestnut in studio. 52 hot dogs over at Nathan's famous 4th of July competition. Holds the American record, right?
Yeah, I'm going for 60 next year.
Going for 60?
Yeah.
Now, how are you going to do that? You said you were going to beat Kobayashi this year when we spoke to you.
I thought I did enough training to beat him, but
next year,
my capacity is growing every year. I went from 32 to 52.
He's young. He's only 22. We should remember Kobayashi's 28.
Yeah.
How much can you make money-wise? I mean, how much does Kobayashi make? Does it full-time. That's his only job,
yeah,
right?
Last year he made, I think, $250,000.
Really?
I've made, I think, this year, I think just about $50,000 this year alone.
About $50,000 just this year eating in competitions.
Yeah.
All right, you're going to train Big Tad. You're also going to do a demonstration for us. You're going to put down three dogs. These are not skimpy cocktail weenies. These are regular size plus hot dogs and the bun. You're going to see if you can do three in 15 seconds.
Yeah, the hardest part's making sure the bun's wet. That's the hardest part.
Oh, you're going to do the dunking in the water
thing?
Dunk
a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, Teresa, you think you were nauseated before. Wait till you watch this.
You're
going to
drink
gross
water when you eat anyway. So
who pioneered the dunking competition? Who that technique?
The Japanese.
Mm. Yeah. Always on the vanguard of weenie eating, those Japanese.
They came over and they took care of it. They did it.
Well, you got it. Again, got to tip the hat to him. Big Tad is going to be in Reno doing the rib eating competition. He's going to be there tomorrow night. He's going to do something I'm actually jealous of. He's going to judge an amateur exotic dance competition, and that's the fun one, amateur night. The chicks that are...
Hey, everybody. She's never been naked on stage before, but here goes.
She's a secretary, but she's whipping her glasses off and shaking her bun out. You guys shake your bun. She'll shake her moneymaker. Businessman's lunch. $1 well drinks. Yeah. Candy stage fortune. I always love the extra business that goes on the side there. Point is, yeah, anyone with the big stripper tat who's been doing it for 20 years, that's all right. See them naked. But what you want is the chick who's working at the receptionist. She's working as a receptionist at the law office, getting up there and getting
little
naked.
Little insecure. Doesn't yes. know if she deserves to be up there.
Yes. Yeah. Mazel tov, as the folks in Reno say, Tad.
Yes, sir. it's actually at Rum Bullion's Island Bar inside Silver Legacy. So 8 to 10. Come down.
And that's in Reno, and that's tomorrow night?
Yes, sir. Yeah. But I'm really ticked off right now because the man to my left, I just found out he's in this rib-eating contest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was easy money, I thought.
Oh, yeah. Easy money, my friend.
What do you win? Come on. What do you win if you win the rib-eating competition?
$2,500.
That's $2,500 bucks. And how they do it, they weigh?
Oh, they weigh it all before and after, so they know exactly how much you
So they put start in. Everyone with how much?
I think it's a five-pound platter.
Five pounds.
Then if you need another five-pound platter, they'll put that on.
And then they weigh. How long do you have to do it?
It's going to be a 12-minute contest.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, when you're doing ribs, you don't dunk that in water, right?
No. It's you don't want to add any more weight onto the bones.
Hold on. Kobayashi's back on the phone. Yeah.
Enough with this guy.
He's maniacal.
You're the person that you don't dip in water. You dip in milk.
I got to say, I've seen Kobayashi many times. I've never heard him speak before.
I didn't even know he knew English.
Amateur, you eat the rib, sir.
Speaks in English. He can rhyme in English.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this.
God.
Joey Chestnut. He doesn't need to talk, Kobayashi. He lets his mouth do the talk. Well,
wait.
You know what I'm saying. You know what I mean.
I'm going to do a karaoke song, sing about the Joey Chestnut cannot eat the foot wrong.
He's very amused with himself.
Oh, how do you say, you sucker?
You think you just did. Listen, Kobayashi, hang tight because Joey's going.
I have a Corolla.
Yes.
I have a much respect for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But I have a no respect for Chestnut. He is what we call a shameful person.
Yes.
He should just cut stomach open and let all his shame drop on the floor.
In your culture, his parents would have killed themselves a long time ago,
sure.
Right?
We would have dropped him in volcano like a daughter.
He's almost suggesting that you kill yourself out of shame.
He would not even be a bonsai pilot. He would be geisha girl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they got a good life.
Joey, I don't know if this is adding fuel to your fire, but I'm angry now. I hope you remember this come 4th of July at 7.
Oh, is the little girl angry?
He's not just putting you down. He's putting down America, Joey.
I know, man. It's all right.
Paparita should I'll train you for Karate Girl 5.
Hold on. Hold. He's maniacal, man. Is. Maybe this is why I always see him cut out of sports. I see him eating the dogs, but they must just clip out the interview at the end because he is just, it's not suitable for young children.
So, he gets in your head, right? He psychs you out.
No, he's actually a pretty good eater. He's a good competitor, really nice guy.
I don't know. I mean, to hear this guy seated to my right while I was trying to focus on my job, I don't know if I could. He psychs you out.
Right.
So you're going to eat three dogs for us. And you're going to see if you can do it. This is the bun. This is the dog. These are regular-sized dogs and then some. And regular-sized bun. You're going to do three in 15 seconds. Is that correct?
Yeah. I'm hoping I can do that.
All right. This is Kobayashi.
Yes, sir.
Now, listen. I'm going to have you back on the line, but I want you to be a gentleman.
Okay.
Joey Chestnut is going to...
Adam. I just want you to know, right before you put me back on the phone, I ate 12 hot dogs. And I dip it in a sake. And I ate 4 loaves of bread. What is Mr. Joey Chestnut about to do?
Well, he's going to try to eat 3.
Of course, because he's a sissy.
Well, he's going to do 3 in 15 seconds.
Oh, wow. That's a big deal. I just ate the 12.
Wow.
He's an eating machine, Joey.
Adam, can I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
How does Joey look in his mini skirt?
Well, he's not wearing panties, I can tell you that.
Of course not. He is a big bitch.
Hold on a second, Kobayashi. Joey, if you're not fired up now, I don't know if you're ever going to be fired up. This is essentially Pearl Harbor here. This is an attack on American soil. It's worse than Pearl Harbor. It's on American soil. Do you understand? I need you to stand up for all Americans. Coney Island, 4th of July, as we discussed earlier. Jesus' birthday. Being shamed on the most holiest of all holidays, the 4th of July, and hot dog eating on Coney Island. By someone who was not born on this soil.
Joey, you carry all our dreams with you. Show us how it's done. Please.
All right, now, 15 seconds. 15 seconds, Kobayashi.
Joey! Why don't you do us all a favor and stick all 3 hot dogs in your butt?
I would accept that, by the way, Joey.
If that's it's consumed, one way or another.
In less than 1 second.
All right, now, Kobayashi.
Then again, you might have to make the hot dog foot along.
crowd is gathered to watch this.
Kobayashi.
Yes, sir?
I demand silence now.
I promise. I have much respect for you, Adam.
I don't know.
But I do not like a Joey.
That's abundantly obvious. He's trying to focus now.
Oh, focus on being loser.
All right. Listen, I'm putting him on hold. I don't feel like we can do it with him. He's like the world's worst pirate parrot. You know, he just sits on your shoulder and slings insults at you. Now, when I say go, I'm looking up at the clock here. We'll give you 15 seconds. Are you ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, go.
He takes the dog right out of the bun.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's dunking the bun into the water. It's quite grotesque.
Mm.
He's already through 2.
5 more seconds.
The whole dog is now dunked into the water.
Mm-hmm.
Dog and bun.
3.
Gone.
Wow. Now he's done. Now what did he do? That was, did he do 3?
I think he had 3 seconds to spare and he consumed all 3.
Wow.
Not bad.
Wow. Wow. That's an American. You gotta throw up on Teresa.
I'm a vegetarian. This is something.
Kobayashi. Oh wait a minute, I got him on hold. Kobayashi?
I scared him off.
Yes, I just ate a whole pound of bacon.
While you're on hold just then?
Yes. During the 15 seconds, I eat a whole pound of bacon and 1 dozen of egg.
Still hungry?
Did Joey throw up?
No, he held it all down. He ate 3 full-size hot dogs in 15 seconds.
Very good, Joey. Very good. Keep practicing so you can ruse.
All right, now, Kobayashi, Big Tad, and I know you don't have an axe to grind with Big Tad.
Uh-oh,
Big Tad is doing a rib-eating competition. I don't know how you feel about rib-eating competitions.
Does he eat it also the bone?
No.
It's not a rib-eating contest.
Wow.
I see. Wow, you're very hardcore.
I eat the bone.
Kobayashi.
I bet you do.
Let me say this. Very controversial at Coney Island last year. A lot of people say you threw up and should have been disqualified.
Yeah, that is true. But then I did drink my throw up.
So came out his nose.
I win two time.
That is maniacal, this Kobayashi.
He just pooped another leak.
He actually, as we learned the first time we spoke to him, he poops in link form. He eats that many hot dogs.
And I sell them at local delicatessen.
Wow. All right, so hang tight here, Kobayashi, because Big Ted is going to eat some.
And Joey, both are sissy.
Yeah, but this sissy will kick your ass, Kobayashi.
All right, now listen, Ted. He's a competitor. Well, he is a rookie, although he's a big man and he's been eating since before he was born. Yes, Big Tad's mother used to have to put platters up her just to satisfy a zygote Tad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Tad, mm-hmm. Good luck. Good luck to both of you.
All right, Joey, go ahead and help Big Tad. Give him some tips and some pointers.
I don't know if I should take his pointers, though, because he's against me in this rib eating contest.
Dad, I have one suggestion for you.
It's
mm-hmm.
all right.
Mm-hmm. Quit while you're ahead.
Well, he's not only drunk with power, Kobayashi, but he's drunk off sake, which we've learned he uses to dunk the bun into.
I eat a Lucky Charms with the sake.
Hardcore. Ted, you're going to try to do three ribs. Is that true?
I didn't even know this. Okay.
They're the size of my fingers. You should be doing like 20.
Do 20? You want to do 20? Well, what is the technique? Why don't you instruct Big Ted?
You got to start it with your fingers. You got hands, so you got to use them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Pretty much go ahead, put it in your mouth and take it all out. Strip the meat.
So you try to debone with your teeth.
Can I practice on one?
Start with your fingers, then continue with your mouth.
So you essentially perform oral on the rib. Is that the technique?
I've never performed oral.
But you know what I'm saying.
But if that's what you're saying.
You've seen it in movies, though, have you not?
I don't look that closely at the technique.
Grab the end of the bone, put it in your mouth like it's a popsicle stick, and just pull it out?
Right.
So it's like as if you were eating a popsicle,
if
slide it
got,
in, pull
popsicle.
The stick out, right? All right, Tad, go ahead.
Ooh. Oh,
that looked pretty good.
That was decent.
Tad,
hold up, brother.
Keep going.
Tad, I didn't know we were timing.
Now, what should he be doing? Should he be swallowing?
Yeah, he should work on swallowing.
How do you swallow that? What do you do? Just swallow it down? Do you drink water and do it?
Usually you need a little bit of water or you just get into a rhythm.
Is it eat, drink, or?
Whatever you taste to get into a rhythm where you're swallowing quickly.
Kobayashi.
Yes, Mr. Adam Carolla.
See, that's great respect for me. I like that.
I have a bunch of respect for you.
Do you look at the rib eating stuff as sort of bush league?
I don't like rib eating because I don't believe in sucking a bone and a swallowing.
I understand, right? This doesn't.
Yeah. If you catch my drift.
No, I got your drift. Thank you.
I go strictly eating a dog. No.
Wiener boy.
I understand. Well,
good
listen.
Rock with that one, Tad. Make sure you wear lots of lipstick.
Hey, this guy gets in your head.
Wow,
all right, Tad, you work on those ribs and those dogs. I'm tired of watching you. We're running late. We need to take a break. Joey Chestnut, I got to tell you, I've never wanted a victory more. A lot of people follow the Olympics. They wave the flag every 4 years for that. For me, it's hot. It's on with the hot dog eating. This Kobayashi has disgraced us at our own sport with our own food in our own country. And I say it is time you knock this once proud warrior off his high horse. I'm sorry, Kobayashi. I had to say it.
He's okay, Adam. You are American, which means you are a big failure.
Well, I've heard enough out of him. What do you think, Joey?
Yeah, it's time to shut him up.
Time to shut him up.
I'll beat him.
There's only one way to do it.
Yeah.
July 4th.
It'll happen. I'm going to beat him in October 28th. Crystal Hamburgers, I'll be going against him.
Oh, you'll be doing a burger-eating competition with Kobe.
Yeah,
I'm going to break his record next week.
I eat appetizer before hot dog-eating contest.
So cocky, actually, eats before.
Before contest, I eat 14 burgers.
He's the Gary Payton of eating, this guy. He's just in your ear.
Oh, she's a cute.
Yeah.
I had no idea there was a female in the audience.
She's single, too, Kobayashi.
Oh. Would you like to see a foot along?
I had a feeling something like that was coming. Maybe we could go out for dinner.
Oh, I would love that very much.
Chicks dig competitive eaters.
All right, the great Kobayashi. I got a feeling he's going to be back on the show. Joey, thank you. Good luck to you.
We'll be
keeping an eye on you. Tad.
Yes, sir.
Good luck in Reno. I want to thank Hooters for sponsoring you. They're flying you out there?
Yes, they are.
God bless Hooters.
Looking forward to it.
What supporters of the Adam Carolla Show? We'll take a quick break. We're going to talk some Emmys when we come back. T?
Yes, we're going to hear Conan's really brilliant song, plus the speech by a guy who's not famous, but I thought it was the funniest speech of the night, and I thought he borrowed very liberally from an Adam Carolla bit that he did on Letterman.
Interesting. Also at Dennis Hoff, owner of the Bunny Ranch, will be in here. Uh-oh, he did get Ron Jeremy on the phone, didn't he?
Yeah, here.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Ron Jeremy is the punchline to so many jokes, you don't think about it. Like when he goes, Dennis just said, let me get Ron Jeremy on the phone, and I just started laughing and walked away, and the next thing you know, there's Ron Jeremy. Well, I guess Ron will be coming in as well. We'll talk to him. We'll talk to Dennis. 1001 Bunny Ranch questions. I don't know how you get one started. Do you live there? How does it work? I want to know about health inspectors.
And what does Kobayashi think about the whole thing?
All that, but first, the Emmy wrap-up after this.
Fine streets of Mercury.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to talk Emmys. Who'd you love? Who got robbed? And whose dress would you love to see on your floor?
The nominations are...
Give Adam a call at 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Gotta say this about the Emmys. The TiVo is a fickle mistress, because while she does me right 9 times out of 10, the award shows, she really bites me in the ass.
Really?
I know she's listening. I can speak freely. That's the kind of relationship we have.
She doesn't get up till 9?
That's why we've lasted this long. Yeah, her and my wife. The problem with the TiVo is I TiVo'd it, and I got the early feed. So I TiVo'd it at 5 o'clock, and then I sat down to watch it at some point, knowing we would talk about it here. And I got through a 3-hour show in about 11 minutes. About as fast as Joey Chestnut ate those hot dogs is how long it took me to get through 3 hours. Because the award show, the TiVo, is made for, but it also kind of screws you up. You'll fast forward through, and then you'll have to go back, and then you fast, and then you fast forward to them going out on stage, and then all you'll want to see is who won, and there's no anticipation anymore. You just get right to it, and the joke is sort of on you, because it's all very efficient, but when the dust settles, you just took 3 hours of a good show and distilled it down into 8.5 minutes.
Yeah, and you miss things like, why is Bob Newhart in that glass case?
That's right.
If you miss the setup, it's confusing.
Right. That, and you said that you were mentioning to me that somebody had an acceptance speech.
Yeah, you never
would have. Derivative of the Ace Man and his Letterman appearance, which I'm sure he had no idea about.
Well, you would think if you were TiVoing through, you wouldn't stop because you wouldn't recognize the guy. His name's Greg Garcia, and he wrote the pilot for My Name is Earl. And you'd think, oddly enough, writers usually give kind of boring speeches, even though they're professional writers. But this guy, I thought, outdid himself. And when you went on Letterman, you name-checked some people that you didn't care for that had not supported your career.
Yes. Well,
and this guy did the same.
Well, let's hear it.
I don't have time to thank everybody that I should, so I thought it'd be easier if I mention a few people I do not want to thank. My 8th grade social studies teacher told me to sit down and shut up because I wasn't funny. No thank you, Mr. McAdoo.
Ooh. He goes on.
Ooh.
My boss, when I was a PA on the show Step by Step, who made me clean gum off the executive producer's shoe. No thank you, ma'am. Tonight I do not share this with you.
Yeah, 2 for 2.
2 for 2.
And finally, God, I'm sure you're responsible in some way, but you took my hair, and that's not cool, man.
Not cool. 2 out of 3. I thank Allah. Or I didn't thank Ala and Letterman.
A little derivative of what you did, but very funny.
But very funny, and yes, a few years ago. Jeez. First time I did Letterman was like 7 or 8 years ago. Now, as I think about it, it was even before The Man Show, I think, or The Man Show just come on. I was doing it for Loveline, and I thought, well, what could I do? And then I thought, well, I'm just a poor schlub from the Valley. I'll yell at a long list of people that need to kiss my ass. Mr. Gregory from North Hollywood High, who failed me at driving school. And then I would just laugh like Kobayashi and say, I don't need a driver's license, Mr. Gregory. I come in a limo, and it's filled with hookers and cocaine. I don't even know where I am.
And you use their real names.
Yeah. I used the Mr. Gregory. I used my old foreman, Mike Stramat. It's an a-hole I used to work with when I was a construction laborer. And I used Ken, my manager over at McDonald's, who used to tell me, time to lean, time to clean. That was his that was his big one. He was a large, heavy-set man of color that used to like to manipulate his mustache, not with his fingers, but using his upper lip while he looked down at me in my mop. I told them all to kiss my hairy ass. Felt good.
Yes, I can imagine. It's very satisfying. I think that's why I enjoyed that speech. I also enjoyed Julia Louis-Dreyfus just because she seemed genuinely shocked that she had won.
Mm-hmm.
For
I think rightfully so, right?
Yeah, it was bizarre.
Well, I was shocked the other comedy actor award was in the comedy series. And of all the people, Steve Carell and all the funny guys, Tony Shalhoub won.
Shalhoub.
It's like if the NHL gave away its awards and then they gave the MVP to a field hockey player. It's like, well, it's similar sport, but it's
like
not exactly.
J.J. gave the Smythe Cup to Shalhoub.
Wow, Smythe. That's pretty good. You're in the ballpark.
Who was funny was Conan, and we had talked about...
Thank you for your pity, by the way, Dave. Your condescending pity.
Conan did a song at the opening, which was funny and edgy in that it was on NBC and the song was sort of pointing out that NBC isn't doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear a little of
the song? Sure.
Well, we got trouble, my friends. Yes, we got trouble right here at NBC with a capital T and that rhymes with G as in G. We're screwed. Yeah, we got trouble. Trouble right here at NBC. I know you don't care, but our network share is just one dude. Well, a few years ago, we were sitting on top with Seinfeld, Frasier, Friends. Then those shows failed and the new ones failed and it started an nasty trend. And the guy who passed on Lost was promoted instead of tossed. And now the Peacock's getting it from both ends.
You get the idea.
Yeah, we got trouble.
I like it. I'll listen to it.
It's fun, right?
Well, it's going to be better than anything we say for the next 45 or 50 seconds. Let's be honest.
These let's are keep it going.
These are professionals.
Yeah.
And they've rehearsed. And they're not drunk.
And it's not just NBC, folks. All of television is changing.
Let's just do the whole show, by the way.
TiVo has people skipping past commercials. Unlike the good old days when they just got up and left the room. Then there's the internet. At this very moment, your kids are on YouTube watching a cat on a toilet. Instead of watching that footage where it belongs, on the Fox Network.
Funny.
And worst of all, TV's biggest night of the year is kicking off with a song and dance number performed by a host with limited musical ability.
He can't sing.
Yeah, we got trouble.
All right.
TV's in trouble.
Yeah, it was fun. The opening was very derivative of what they have done many times on other shows where you walk through onto the set of many different shows.
They do it in the Oscar opening a lot.
Yeah, but it's all, I guess, in the execution, and they did a great job on it, and they Tom Cruise in the closet.
Yes, the South Park.
Over on South Park.
That was the best beat of the montage, was to catch a predator from Dateline.
That was awesome.
Cone Bone 69.
That was really funny. Surprised they let him do that. I do love that show when that Dateline catches a predator because I know the guy's a pedophile and he's over there to rape a 13-year-old he met on the internet. I still feel sorry for him.
You're naked. There's a 14-year-old girl. You're chasing a cat around. You've got Cool Whip.
It's always funny, too, where the guy pulls up on his Harley. He knocks on the screen door and the chick's like, hello. I'm here to answer the... I met you on the internet.
Yeah.
Come in! I'm banking! I'm making s'mores. Come in. Take your pants off. Could you open the door? Oh, the door's open.
Really?
Really just going to walk right
Doesn't
in.
Doesn't the pedophile community, by the way, catch wind of this and then never do this again?
Apparently they're not the smartest people.
Yeah.
Community.
Well, they're a boner-driven community, and you never do your best thinking when you're driven by your phallus.
And we mentioned this earlier, but there was an unfortunate sequence of events, which was that there was an actual plane crash.
Right.
In Kentucky a few hours before, and this montage started with Conan O'Brien in a plane
crash. The plane crash was early in the morning, at least in Kentucky, right? It was
yeah,
a 6 a.m.
It was,
flight.
It was that day, several hours earlier.
Well, more, I mean, the only, it would have been nice, more advantageous for the Emmy folks and Conan if the thing had happened an hour before and you'd go, well, what are you going to do? This happened at 6 in the morning.
Yes.
It was all over the news and they rolled this at 5 in the afternoon.
Well,
so it was tougher.
So the
yes.
show opened with the plane crash, but then yes. the train wreck happened with Aaron Spelling's tribute.
Oh, really? I didn't see
Farrah
that.
By Farrah and Joan Collins and a bunch of other rambling
lunatics.
You didn't
care for it?
Oh, it was atrocious.
Aaron Spelling, prolific, but has arguably done more bad shows than he's done
arguably.
Good shows. Yeah,
what's
sorry.
He done? Fantasy Island? That was the good one?
Love Boat.
Yeah, he's done.
They're all crappy.
DJ Hooker,
there
Dynasty.
There could really be a class action lawsuit against the estate of Aaron Spelling for collectively lowering our IQ points at least 8 to 10. I know personally I've been dropped 15 to 20 points from just sitting around and watching horrible programming in the 70s, but still an icon. What are you going to do?
Yeah, it was sad. And also I noticed that Tori and her husband did not seem to be sitting with Candy
no,
Spelling.
Indeed. Mm.
Yeah, I think that rift continues.
Sorry, I do the clap.
I stand corrected.
I do the clap. All right, we need to take ourselves a little break. Overall, a good show, yes?
Yes, I thought so.
Conan was dynamite, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was good. I think the whole thing moved along, and just enough surprises to keep us talking. We're going to take a break. Dennis Hoff is here. He's the owner of the Bunny Ranch. We brought along Ron Jeremy. You think Ron looks bad naked in porn, so you ought to see him at 8 a.m. I think he went to bed late last night. We'll talk to Ron. We'll talk to Dennis. We'll bring them in here, and we'll do that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Penthouse Magazine says it's the best little whorehouse in the Western world. Jesse the Body Ventura says all the girls look like Playboy Playmates. And Ron Jeremy says, great buffet. Dennis Hoff's world-famous Bunny Ranch. And now the man they're calling King Pimp, Dennis Hoff, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Also, as I read here, Joey Buttafuoco calls it the best little whorehouse in the Western world. Well, I'll tell you, when Joey gives you his seal of approval, you're in. It's
like
on.
Good housekeeping.
Joey's our buddy, though. Ronnie and Joey and I, we all run around together. And Larry Flint, and it's the slime pack or the
Joey
sex pack.
Met the man once. He is a delight.
Was he?
Yes, a delight.
As
a gentleman.
Expect.
Dennis Hoff here, who is the owner of the Bunny Ranch. Also, you've seen him in Cat House, HBO. 4th season starting in January. Odd 7, Ron Jeremy in the house. Good to see you, Ron.
Same here. Thank you. Again for the food.
And the beautiful Brooke here as well, who I'm guessing is employed at the Cat House. Yes, Dennis?
Yeah, absolutely.
She's on the menu.
Good to speak to you.
Isn't she beautiful?
Yes,
wonderful.
She is.
I love your staff. You know what I like about morning radio guys is that they're all your staff's horny. They keep looking at Brooke with loving on their mind, you know?
Yeah.
And
not only that, look at Joey Chestnut. He's hungry for more than a hot dog.
Oh, yeah. Joey will be at the Bunny Ranch.
What do you think, bro? Competition. Listen, it's a joke.
He's a competitive eater.
He's a competitive eater, and I said he'd be eating the heart. the part of a woman so down there, yes.
I would say right. Brooke is a competitive eater also.
Really?
I'm a professional eater, yes.
Oh. Nice. Last night, after the Emmys, we went to the TV Guide party, and then at the HBO party, mm-hmm. we ended up finding this wonderful girl that works for HBO, Linda, mm-hmm. and... when Linda and Brooke were done, I didn't know whether they should get married or I should call the police department.
Really? Yeah, it was the fire department.
What do you mean?
Very intense.
What do you mean done?
Very intense. Well, they
yeah,
were partying.
We're not done.
They were partying. They partied. We call it party. That's what everything at the Bunny Ranch is, a party. Every sex act is a party.
I have 1,001 questions. First, quickly, Ron, Jeremy told me. We were talking about a tribute to Aaron Spelling. He said he worked with him.
Yeah,
at one point.
Worked one time for him.
You were Dr. Rex Dexler in Melrose Place?
No, wise guy.
No, sorry.
He produced a TV show. Odd Jobs, which mm-hmm. Roger Avery, my buddy, was the producer. Roger won the Academy Award for Pulp Fiction. He wrote it,
mm-hmm.
and then it was Peter O'Fallon was the director. The guy did Suicide Kings, and I was playing the sleazy bathroom guy. With a possible recurring role.
Imagine that.
Ron Avery, he said on his website, I might have gotten a recurring role out of it. But then it was about two gritty cops. NBC didn't take it. They took a TV show called Wind on the Water instead, and it failed.
One of the funniest things I've ever seen, Adam, was a retrospective of Ron, of all the movies. He's been in like 70 real movies.
Yes.
He gets killed in every one of them.
A lot of them, yeah.
Sure.
I saw somebody put all of it together, and it was the funniest thing I've ever
AVN
seen
did
in my
that.
Life.
Stabbed, shot, killed, dismembered, severed head.
He was tied to a locomotive and dragged to death.
He has new meaning to dismember.
In one of the movies, he actually got killed at the Bunny Ranch. Remember that, Ron?
Well,
it was a gunshot to the head.
Let's talk Bunny Ranch for a moment, like specifics. How does the etiquette work? It's been around since 1955.
Yeah, it's been there for 51. We call it a 51-year social experiment. It's cold beer, hot chicks, and a lot of laughs. It's like 51 years of the Man Show.
And you bought it in 93 for $1 million.
Yeah.
Yep. A steal, I guess, now.
To have a license that you can do that only there's a handful in America, it was an absolute steal. And, of course, it's worth 20 times that now.
What does it bring in annually, approximately?
Well, you know, every time I throw out numbers, the county raises my fees, so I'm a little apprehensive to do that. But it's a big income. I mean, a girl like Brooke can make $40,000-$50,000 a month with no problem.
Really?
Yeah.
And how does it work, the profit sharing?
Well, it's a 50-50 split.
Mm-hmm.
The girls take half. We take half. Mm-hmm. They're independent contractors, so we don't withhold taxes on them.
Mm-hmm.
They pay for their own health checks. We've got a 25-year history of mandatory checks, hundreds of thousands of checks.
And how does it work? Dr. Drew comes to the facility, or you actually fly him out here?
Brooke, would you like to have Dr. Drew come check you out?
I sure would.
You could do worse. Does a guy show up? I mean, is it like the Orkin man has showed up, and he's going to spray?
Every Thursday.
I hope you attended that in the spirit in which it was intended. But, I mean, received it in the spirit
every
in
Thursday,
which it was intended. But yes.
we're real proud of that because the truth is that we're living proof that barrier protection works.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the porn industry doesn't have our record.
Right.
I understand that Hefner had a playmate that was HIV. I mean, it's out there. And so we've got a 25-year history of millions of encounters without any problems.
Parties.
At all.
Parties. They're called parties.
Yes. How does it work then if I walked into the place, how does the selection process work?
Well,
what will happen is you'll ring the bell at the gate and then mm-hmm. we'll all line up for you and you can either choose a lady from the lineup that you like mm-hmm. or you can hang out at the bar in the parlor, have a drink, meet them all.
It's like the best singles bar in the world.
Now,
the odds are real good.
Now what if my lady is currently underneath Ron Jeremy in...
Go
you
home.
Know,
pick another lady.
I'll say, honey, Adam's here. Adam's here. Time to go.
Adam's
on the phone. Well, on the show Cat House, it appears as though your assistant, the woman, she's kind of the mother of the house, the mother hen.
The madam, the house mom, Suzette.
Yeah, Suzette, she lines everybody up, mm-hmm. and then the guys look them over and choose one.
Yeah, that's one way that's...
typically what occurs when someone just walks in the door. But you can also go to the website, bunnyranch.com, and check out the girls. And if there's a girl that you really want to make sure she's available, you can set an appointment with her there.
And the other thing is you don't have to pick a girl. You know, probably half the guys pick a girl and go do their business. The other half say, I want to go to the bar. And then it's like the best singles bar in the world. I mean, you know, I always say that partying with the girls is unbelievable. But the verbal and the visual of hanging with them is priceless.
How, speaking of priceless, though, how much if you're going to party versus get it on?
Well, party versus get it on.
I mean, go to the bar, hang out.
Well, the drinks are very reasonable. I mean, we're not a bar that's... I hate adult businesses that charge absorbent prices on drinks. So it's like $3 for a beer, it's $5 for a cocktail, it's nothing. And we encourage that because what happens is if they come in and sit around and drink, of course, they're eventually going to end up in the room.
Right.
In the room, the girls negotiate their own price.
Ah.
They're in control of their own destiny and what they do. And because there's too many variables to put out a price, because it's how many girls you want, how long, what you want to do, are you kinky?
Right, yes, thank you. Brooke, then if a guy came in, let's just say a guy was a celebrity. Let's say you recognized the guy's work or you thought it was cute or whatever.
Are you planning a trip?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. No, I mean, forget about radio, but a guy you know, guy you like, or forget about the celebrity part. Just a guy. He's 22. He's a gymnast in junior college, and he's a good-looking guy with six-pack abs, and you'd be attracted to him if you just saw him walk past you at a mall. Is his price different than the fat, smelly guy from Parts Unknown?
You know, if they wanted the same activities, no.
Really?
No, but everyone is so individual about what they want, so everyone always has something just a little bit different.
Well, how much just for the straight-up sex?
Oh, I can't tell you.
Oh, you can't?
Mm-mm. You have to come in and check it out.
You can spend a couple hundred or a couple thousand, depending on the girl, what you want to do. And also, if a girl is a celebrity, like the girls on our TV show become celebrities. And like
your ex, for example.
My ex made $500,000 a year. So did Air Force Amy. They made big money because they were celebrities. I put them out there to the media. I put them on all the shows, all the TV shows and magazines.
Tim had a question about Air Force Amy. Tim?
Yeah, Dennis, love the show and love with Isabella Soprano. But hey, that Air Force Amy, you guys had a big blow off, and she packed her stuff in the minivan like a whack job. Is she in some crack den now? Or
No.
No crack.
She just was overstressed and she was drinking a little bit, and that happened. Now she came back and she worked for us for a while. We put it all back together, and she was a big part of the Bunny Ranch success. And then it blew up again, and so we had to ask her to leave. And now she's out there doing whatever she's doing.
Can I ask you this question, Dennis? The ladies line up, and you pick who you'd like to go with, but you don't know what the price is yet. So what if you pick the hottest chick, but you only have a couple $100 in your wallet?
Well, if you pick the hottest chick and you can't make a deal with her, then you come back to the parlor and she's going to introduce you to other girls. They're not going to ask you to walk out the door. What they're going to do is take you back to the bar. I mean, Rook, how do you handle
it? Meet Ron Jeremy's sister, Bertha.
Wow. All right.
Oh, that's just wrong.
You're right. It would be wrong. Well, hold on. We need to take a break. Brooke, you explain to us some more etiquette rules. I think Big Tad is on the website right now trying to pick.
Oh, yeah. He's all hot and bothered. I see him sweating from here.
Well, it has been, I think, almost three years since Big Tad has been laid. So he's got
to help. We need
it. I hope you have flood insurance, in other words, because I got to tell you, this is
going to
be Katrina.
Yeah, this is giving back to the community.
It's going
to
be disaster over there. You thought you lived in a drought area. I'll tell you, you were
when
wrong.
When
the levee broke. We'll take a break. Dennis is here from the cat house. Also, Ron Jeremy here as well, the beautiful Brooke. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. When it comes to helping out charity, we don't just talk a big game.
We get strippers to do something.
Last Friday was the first ever Corolla Bikini Car Wash.
There's a bevy of foxes running free, unchecked at the car wash.
It's all wet and soapy down here, so I know obviously we're clean. We're cleaning things up, right?
Porn stars,
strippers, more porn stars, and more strippers.
All hell has broken loose, Ace. It's crazy down here. Now all the girls are sopping wet. There's also a masturbation tent set up.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Listen, that was Friday, and I made the decree after that show, we're not going to go down Filth Highway anymore on this show. We're cleaning it up. We're doing good Christian comedy, or we'll not do comedy at all. Dennis Hoff from the Bunny Ranch in studio, Ron Jeremy, and of course, prostitute extraordinaire Brooke. Brooke, what'd you make last year working over at the Bunny Ranch?
I started New Year's Eve, so I didn't work there last year.
Mm-hmm. And how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
25.
How many customers would you say you see in a day?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Maybe 2, 3.
Oh, that's it?
5.
Mm.
Depends on the day.
How many days a week? Now, how does it work for you? Like, what's the schedule? You have to stay. Do you stay there when you're there?
Yeah. We have girls from all over the country, all over the world, actually, that come in, and they'll stay for 2 weeks, couple months, few months, however long they want. We each have a 12-hour shift.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's noon to midnight. And so we make bells and meet customers and have fun.
And when you're done at midnight, then what?
I either stay late and work more, or I go to bed.
And when you say go to bed, where do you go to bed?
In my bedroom.
And is
in my bed?
Yeah, is the bedroom that you use, the one you use to sleep in, the one you use to work in?
Yes.
Home office, as it were?
Exactly. That's exactly
what it is. It's a write-off. Those wet naps are a write-off. Lobster bibs are a write-off.
But yeah, they give us a setup before the party, so we cover the top of our bed. So it's not like I'm really sleeping in the...
Right. I understand.
Festivities.
Right.
Filth.
The devil's litter box.
Do you party?
That's what
with
I call my bed.
That's good. Do you party, as Dennis taught me to say, with a lot of couples?
I love couples. So, yeah, I do a lot of parties with couples. Mm-hmm. Not every girl does, but I sure do.
About half the girls like girls, and about another 25% are gay for pay, and the other 25% just don't like chicks. So a lot of couples come in. Because of our HBO show, we show that. We show a lot of couples. We show a lot of virgins because it's great TV. And because of that, Brooke does a lot of couples, some hot couples, too, some really hot couples.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Brooke, let me ask you this. Ever in your life, any animals?
No.
Well, the reason I ask is because directly to your right, our in-house beast.
He's not an animal.
And to your left, the hedgehog.
That's an animal.
Surrounded by
he's
him.
Really it's to her right animal.
Animal. Well, yes. I have had animals, but not any that are furry.
Four-legged.
Mm-hmm. Quite so beastly as fat pet.
Have you had a virgins?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
you've done some deflowering.
Yeah,
huh?
I have, men and women.
Oh, really?
It must be satisfying.
It is, for the women more so than the men. But yeah, the men, it's a good place for them to come in and learn. And
I would give them a break.
Get a good time.
And I would also be like IHOP. Your birthday? First one's on me.
We need to put you to work then.
That seems fair.
It'd be great. Everyone saying it's their birthday. Really? I've seen you 3 times this month. Yeah. Hold still, Carolla.
You know, I think we're going to do that. We're going to have the Adam Carolla birthday party special.
Thank you.
Ooh, I like that.
Oh, what a fitting tribute. Tad?
Yes, sir.
You went on the website?
Yes, sir.
You've not been laying almost 3 years?
Yes, sir.
And you've picked out a girl?
I've been watching The Cat House on HBO, and there's one. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
That and Entourage. And her name is Carla.
What's wrong with Brooke? Oh,
no, there's
here.
Nothing wrong with Brooke. I like Brooke too.
I can tell you why. He likes the big gazumbas.
Ah.
Oh, Carla. Yes.
You told me that. I hope Carla does too.
These are bigger.
So will you hook him and Carla up?
Well, Carla's there now. In fact, you know what? You and Ron Jeremy will have something in common because Ron has party with her.
I don't think we have anything in common.
Well, you're both big guys.
That was that in the movie,
both furry.
Right? No. Ron partied with her, and we were listening, so we have an intercom in there, so we all listen.
Oh.
And Ron says...
It was a friendship thing. It wasn't actually a transaction. It was just we were going out.
He wants to make sure that everybody knows he didn't pay. Okay. Of course he's not going to pay because he's cheap.
I'm a,
right. He's not paying anything.
I'm two,
Anyway, so they're in the room, and Ron says, slow down. I got to work on Monday. Slow down, babe. Slow down. Well, can we do this? Yeah. But, take it easy. Finally, it's like, oh, no, I didn't want to do that.
Ron. He actually heard it. I hear like a voice from God saying, Ron, we heard that. Going, oh, my God. They had a speaker going. I didn't know they heard that in the other room.
Ron, is it ruined? I mean, you know, guys who work in donut shops don't want to eat donuts when they get home. Do you know what I mean?
I know where you're going.
Do you want to F a donut when you get home?
No, in my spare time, when I'm not doing movies, I just want to read Shakespeare and soliloquies and sit by the fireplace. Who are we kidding? We're guys. We enjoy sex when we're not working.
You and Tad are going to have something in common. Because, Tad, you're going to come up to the Bunny Ranch.
Yes, sir.
It's been 3 years, really? Certifiable?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
How are you going to prove
Carla
that?
Carla will take care of
you. What document can you have that would say that?
Brooke, and, I'll tell you what. Now, Brooke wants to play with Carla also. I know that for a fact.
She's more than welcome to come play with us.
Yay.
Yeah. Listen.
Well, he's a giving guy.
I wouldn't say Tad's rusty, but Carla's going to need a tetanus shot when Tad's done with her. Yes, she will get lockjaw otherwise, and you'll have to toss her out
onto the dirt lawn. Here's the thing, Tad. We're going to take care of this. You're going to live like a rock star for a day. I'm going to put you right in the VIP suites. You're going to live like a rock star.
Jacuzzi.
You're going to have a big cigar, Cuban cigar, wearing a Bunny Ranch robe. I mean, you're really going to be like a...
You'll never want to leave.
Never.
And then 42 seconds later, the entire experience will be done.
You'll be back here.
But here's the downside. We're going to get Carla on after you're there to talk about your performance.
Smart.
Wait, I like it.
That's not fair. Hold on.
That's not fair.
Hold on. Brasca, you're out. The guy who runs the Bunny Ranch is a better producer.
Dennis, he called it HBO. Will you fix that?
Wait a second. You said you could record because you recorded Ron Jeremy. Could we record Tad?
Didn't record. He just made listen.
But we could record.
We could record. Wow. Yes.
That would not work because that would make me all nervous and I won't be able to perform right.
We won't tell you until afterwards.
That's the test.
You're in. Sorry, Tad. Those are the rules of the game. We need to take a break. Dennis, thank you very much for coming in. Moonlight Bunny Ranch.
It's great fun, buddy, and congratulations on your success.
Thank you, Dennis. And same to you, and as your people would say, Mazel Tov.
And what channel is it on, Dennis?
Cat House.
HBO.
4th big season I'll be watching starting in January. And Brooke, thank you very much. Ron, always a delight, buddy. Tad, we will do this. We'll follow up on it, tell you all about it, keep you posted. But first, the news, T.
Yes, we'll do a little Emmy recap and also a very interesting new study. Tall people, we know they're more successful than short people, but it turns out they're smarter. Mm. More on that.
Always suspected that myself. Also that left-handers were more creative. All that after this.
I'm taller when I lie down.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. A restaurant review with the deaf frat guy.
Today's review, Picasso in Las Vegas. Chef Julian Serrano's exquisite Spanish-infected new French dishes are meticulously honed masterpieces at Las Vegas' most popular restaurant. Perfect wines, gorgeous flowers, and a view of the dancing fountains will make this a perfect evening, especially if topped off with a visit with your bros to the Bunny Ranch to bang some hoes. Overall, though, I say this place needs more food, less tune. I give it 3 potato gun blasts.
Mm-hmm. Jay's on the phone, says he washed Big Tad's ass at the car wash on Friday. Jay.
Hey, what's up, man?
You washed Big Tad's ass, huh?
Yes, I did, but I did it for tickets, Adam.
Oh, I see. All right, you got the tickets to the Stones?
Yes, I did. Dave was kind enough to recognize me and my buddy. We rode our bikes down to the car wash to... We were thinking the lines would be a little shorter that way.
Mm, smart.
And he put us up for the big wash.
Well, when you ride your bicycle to Coin Op Car Wash to wash Big Tad's ass, you know you've arrived.
Hey, well, you know, we've got some great shots of some porn gal straddling my friend's bike and soaping it up. So.
Good stuff, Jay.
All right.
Well, we'll see at the Stone. What is that? Did we figure out? Was the 18th?
I think it's the 18th.
Of
November 18th.
November.
Yeah.
Give me the honky tonk blows.
Ozzy's huge Stones fan. You know what's funny about Ozzy? Ozzy's been out here for 20 years, but he may as well just live in Nicaragua, because you start talking to him about stuff of, you know, Tom Cruise or, you know, the Patriots winning the Super Bowl or something, huh? What? Must be nice, really. I mean, a sort of liberating in a certain way, if you think about it. As people who are born here, who have to think about these things all the time, we walk around with our brains sort of monopolized by thoughts about, where's baby Suri? How come we haven't seen any pictures of Tom and Kate's baby? And these sort of thoughts about Paris Hilton, they're just whoever. Jeez, I hope Nicole Richie gets that eating under control. Boy. And that's really? I'm going to be lying on my deathbed and I'm going to think, well, I spent 3 years thinking about what Nicole Richie was eating. And I realize if you move to another country, if you're Aussie, you don't think about anything. Just Budweiser and Flapsteak, and when do you get to F your wife again?
Through the you and the world, on the country you have me free.
Say, maybe, you know, we look at these guys as second-class citizens. Maybe the joke's on us. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should just move, like if we moved to Nicaragua, if we weren't, you know, if we didn't have a flaming tire put around us by Sandinistan rebels, let's say we avoided that, but we just moved
That's
to Nicaragua,
downside.
We wouldn't get caught up. They'd be talking about the Latin soap star and the scandals and the eating disorders and all this kind of stuff. And we'd be like, eh, I'm just thinking about my family.
I think I managed to get caught up in it.
Wait a minute. What was that one?
The best. Around, nothing gonna ever keeping you down.
Oh, from Karate Kid. Inspirational.
Good.
All right, T, sorry for that digression.
No problem. I will keep the news brief. Tropical storm Ernesto hit Cuba just west of Guantanamo today. After killing one person in Haiti, it's now on track towards Florida, where forecasters expect it to turn into a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be Hurricane Ernesto.
I hope Cuba turns over. I don't know. I'm not a geologist, but I would like that island to be capsized.
Like a raft.
Just to flip it over. And when we flip it back, nobody's left. And we put a casino up and enjoy. That's my plan.
Bad news for short people. According to Princeton University researchers, short people are simply not as smart as tall people. Now, it's been often referenced that tall people do better. Most of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are over 6 feet. Most presidents are over 6 feet. I always assume this was because we attribute intelligence to smart people. But in fact, according to research...
Attribute intelligence to tall people.
As early as age 3, taller children perform better on cognitive tasks. As adults, tall people are more likely to choose jobs that require greater overall intelligence, verbal skills, and numerical skills. The researchers' best guess is that higher brain function is a result of good prenatal care and nutrition, which is also linked to being a taller person.
Well, as a sports fan, I know Patrick Ewing is a genius.
Yes. Mutombo. Genius.
Very sharp.
Well, he speaks many languages, Mutombo.
Latrell Sprewell.
Oh, man, that guy's one sharp cookie right
well,
there.
Well, he knows how to deal with authority.
Yeah. Let me tell you, if Sprewell's sitting next to you in your Spanish class, look over his shoulder. You will get an A. Yeah,
Randy
cheat off Sprewell. Randy Johnson. Well, look at his hair. It's a genius. He had a mullet up until 2003.
Well, it's genius. Perhaps not universally true.
No, I'll tell you what happens. When you get too tall, like Johnson and Sprewell and Ewing, you get dumb because you keep whacking your head on door jams.
I see.
I think those guys are retarded because they've taken so much blunt force trauma to their skull. You know, door jams, 6'8", everybody.
Yes.
So anybody you hear about who's over 6'8", or 6'7", when you put your sneakers on, whatever, 6'8", is all door jams. Front door, all the house, all the interior doors of the house, that is the standard height. So anybody who's over that is now officially tortured because you must bend down every single time you change rooms. But let me say this about the tall man. Ron Jeremy.
Yes.
Not a tall man.
No.
A short man.
Five, six or so.
Seems bigger by his waistband, but can perform oral on himself. And I'm 6'2", but I would give it all away.
Just for that.
I think you know what I'm saying, yeah.
I do. Well, they say a height
give
advantage...
Give it all away tomorrow.
They say a height
give
advantage...
Give it all away.
A height advantage of 4 inches.
Oh, I'm rich. I live in a house up in the hills. Beautiful wife, sports cars, and a tall, rangy frame. But I give it all away.
to perform oral on yourself.
For Ron to do it on. I'll give it all away.
Okay, for every 4 inches in height, a person earns 10% more money. And now, quickly, the Emmys last night. Funny show. We all agreed. We've discussed it.
Mm-hmm.
Grey's Anatomy and Lost snubbed 24-1 for Best Drama Series. And the last person on Earth you expect to curse, Helen Mirren, who won for the miniseries Elizabeth the First.
My great triumph was not falling over as I came up those stairs. If you saw the shoes I've got on, you'd understand.
Yeah, she said ass over...
Teats.
Right, which
yes.
You cannot say. That one must confound the foreigners a little, the teats one, since it's sort of semi-official, or at least based in an actual part, named after part. And when you can say gazumbas and cans and golden bozos and yayas and hooters and stuff like that, winnebagos and stuff, the fact that you cannot say the teats word has to be very confusing to those from other countries.
It escaped Helen Mirren, God bless her. Now,
She would give it all the way to what Ron can do.
Mel Gibson back in the news.
She give that Emmy. She give it right back. Oh, believe me, I know.
In the meantime, is she using the Emmy? Sure she is. She's only human.
Right, but she will give it right back to the guys over at Smith Barney or whoever the hell
this
collects them.
This must be a male fascination because I've never once considered that this was important to be able to give
it all away.
To myself.
Give the kids away. Give the life away. Give it all away to be able to do what Ron does.
Mel Gibson, as I was saying.
Mel would give it away. The millions he made on Passion of the Christ would give it all back to be able to do what Ron does.
According to TMZ.com, he has been calling up certain Jewish heavyweights in the entertainment industry to personally apologize for his rants.
I'll tell you, Jewish heavyweight Ron Jeremy. And he
do you think
would
he's
give
gotten
it
a call from Mel Gibson? Or
he's
think
somewhere on that list. I think eventually you come around to Ron Jeremy when you're apologizing to Jews.
Well, Mel Gibson is, this is what they say, he's calling people one by one. I have not received a call. Wait a second. It must be Mel. I can't pick that up right now. I'm doing the news. All right, what? Yes.
Sorry, duty calls.
Mel, Mel, do you have anything else you want to say to me?
I'm gay.
Okay.
How about driving? I like the one. Is there you have a
virtual
driving
Mel?
One? Virtual Mel.
I like the idea that you can be yourself on the road.
That is okay. The best. Why don't you play the best one, Brian?
He's saving the best for last.
Oh, go do that thing that Ron does to
old
himself.
Habits die hard.
Thank you.
Okay, Rob Reiner. Famous director.
Rob will give it all away. He'll give it all away tomorrow.
He has not gotten a call from Mel Gibson, and in fact, he's angry. He says, quote, "It's not a matter of just apologizing for some words you said. It's to really understand why it is you are anti-Semitic and where those feelings came from."
Mm.
Ace, no wonder he's named Meathead.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
<That's good.
laughs> You with me?
Mel Gibson, any Rob, last words?
I like the idea that you can be yourself on the road.
There you go. Okay. Thank you. Rob is soon to be on my list of blowhards. He's not formally on it, but he's climbing toward it. Yes.
He's getting dangerously close, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Did everybody get what I was talking about when I said Meathead?
Yes.
We did, yeah.
There was a lot of the strippers out at the car wash on Friday. A lot of double entendres, a lot of double meanings with what they were saying. I picked up a few things from that and some stuff down below that I don't want to talk about that I picked up. Anyway, listen. Let's talk about the pastime. As I said earlier, we have but 1 week to do so, and then it becomes football season and baseball is rendered moot.
Mm, yeah.
Dodgers stopped the bleeding over the weekend. They took to Saturday night. Jeff Kent hit a ninth inning home run to win the game. Then yesterday they won again against the Snakes, and so now they're two games up on the Padres, who lost in Colorado yesterday in the wild card. All of a sudden, Barry the Creep and his pals only two out behind the Cincinnati's for the wild card. Padres only a half game back, about a month left of games to go. But as I say, let's see some change this week, and then we can all tune out and focus on what really counts.
Yes.
NFL football.
Yes.
College football, by the way, this Thursday night.
Oh, does it start on Thursday?
That's right. We got some good games coming up. We got SC over in Arkansas. A lot of good games to kick the season off.
Now, this is a relatively new thing. They normally would just start on a Saturday, right?
No, they always used to, as a matter of fact, this is the first time there's not a kickoff classic in several years. There used to always be a kickoff classic, and it seemed even premature. Even as excited as you are for football, the game would be played in so early in August, you'd be like, I don't know
that
I'm even prepared
for football. Not on a Saturday.
Yeah, it would just be randomly.
Wow.
ESPN, at least for last year, for sure, did a Thursday play-in game. And yeah, you're right. They got rid of all the classics, the pigskin, the kickoff.
Right.
But they kept the BCA Classic, the Black Coaches Association.
Wonderful. And
I'm in that, by the way.
Are you?
Yes, and they would give it all up. They would give it all the rings, all the trophies, all the accolades to do what Ron Jeremy can do.
If the stereotypes are true, they can do it.
Oh, yeah, no.
Now, what I do want to talk about is T.O.
Yeah. Sorry.
This character.
He would give it. Okay.
You know, he's bad news. I don't know if you've heard.
Yeah,
he's a troublemaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's with the Cowboys, and he's been having trouble with Bill Parcells. Well, the team has fined him now 9,500 simoleons. He missed a team meeting, and so now they're throwing fines at him. This is off to a beautiful start. They haven't even played a game yet.
I want to know why trouble seems to find him. All he does is show up, put his hat on, and go to work like everyone else on the team.
To anybody.
And trouble keeps finding him. Listen, everyone, just a bigger message to any kids that are listening. If every teacher you have has it out for you, that'll turn into every boss, every coach, every spouse, every person you work with. If everyone mysteriously hates you,
yes,
wherever you go, perhaps it is you, the one constant in the equation.
They say if enough people call you a horse's ass, you should look behind yourself and see.
Powerful. Mm. And all those guys who are looking behind themselves would all give it up to
if
be able
they
to
could
look in front of themselves.
I call it
soul searching.
Damashek's number one sports.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that held so much appeal.
Oh, yes. And listen again to the young people listening. If you're ever caught attempting to do this to yourself, try to convince your stepmom you're blowing yourself up. That's like a raft.
Inflating yourself.
That's the angle. There's not many angles. They're all going to be tough, but work the inflation angle. Okay?
And then you wind up in special school.
That's
he thinks
right.
He can blow himself up.
The more you know. Brian, please be prepared. Thank you.
He was busy trying to inflate himself.
He can do no right. We will take ourselves a break. The good news is we have our prisoner, who, as it turns out, is more entertaining than anyone on this program.
Pretty much.
He's in a California prison. He's in for life for conspiracy to commit murder. Didn't actually even do it. Still in for life. Anyway, also there's a guy in the joint who knows me, who he hangs out with.
Is that right? From high school?
Or? I guess. Finally, local boy makes good.
And all the inmates have one thing in common. They're all wild for Teresa. Yeah. Maybe we'll get some more pictures
right
from them to date her.
Or you, if you tucked your junk between your legs.
I'd give it all away if I could just have that.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Well, you just laughed it off. It was all okay.
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh? Poser.
The Adam Carolla Show. It's prison time on The Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Yes, our prisoner David is on the phone. I think David was used to do. Oh, so let me try this again.
Oh, hold on, he's on the phone with you.
Oh.
Kyle.
Kyle.
Uh-oh.
What is
it
happening?
I don't know. You know, it gets kind of lonely. Not in prison, but in the phone answering booth that Kyle sits in for 4 hours a day.
He's on a party line.
I'm in a glass case of emotion!
Kyle, would it be all right if we speak to the guest, or you got a gazpacho recipe that you... All right, well, anyway.
Brusca's in there giving it to him, but
nice
good.
What do you think that might sound like?
What are you doing, hippie? Stop smoking the drugs and put the call on the line, would you?
Prisoner David?
Yeah.
Sorry. Good to speak to you as usual.
Yeah. What's going on?
David is in the joint. You're out here in a California prison, right?
Yeah.
And you're in prison for conspiracy to commit murder.
That's correct.
And you get lifetime for conspiracy to commit murder.
Yeah, I got life, and there's not even a murder.
Wow. No, no, no corpse and getting live. Uh-oh. I like this part.
Me too. No, not yet.
Oh, not yet.
Usually it's about 3 minutes in.
Yeah, I like the recording that says you're talking to a prisoner.
Yeah.
Hey, Prisoner David, I hear that there's somebody in the joint with you that I know.
Yes, but he doesn't want to come to the phone. He says there's something that happened between you guys. He doesn't want to talk about it on the air.
Mm.
But he said he definitely will write you. He told me, I'm going to give you his address. He says, okay, go ahead and write him. So it's all good. He's going to write you.
The guy I went to high school with?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, imagine.
Mm.
And you can't say his name.
Yeah, I can say his name.
Oh, all right.
His name's Jamie. Do you remember a guy named Jamie?
Let's see.
Can you give us a physical description?
White guy.
White guy? What's he doing in prison?
A white guy named Jamie.
Well, yeah, he basically grew up with him. Like I say, he's telling me right now, don't give him any more.
I see. And is he in there for dealing drugs?
I have no idea what he's in there for. I haven't even asked him.
I thought you guys all knew who was in for what, like when they find a guy who's a pedophile.
Oh, from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Yes, actually, we do know what everybody's in here for, pretty much. Mm-hmm. But I just don't know what he's in here. He just arrived here like a month ago.
I see.
I was holding some auditions, Adam. Holding some auditions for the show, and I said, hey, this guy comes up to me and says, you know Adam Carolla? Yeah.
This guy's the Mike August of prison.
I know. He's out booking August from the joint.
Hey, let me tell you something, Adam. See, we don't really like to get in guys' business around here because sometimes it can end up in a dispute.
No, I know. You got to keep to yourself in the joint.
Yeah, you keep your mouth shut all the time.
Now, David, when are you... Yes, so penis does not enter it. when are you due to come up for parole?
Oh, 2015. Yeah.
And if so, I would like to be a part of that hearing.
Oh, that'd be great.
I will say, listen, I don't care if he tried to snuff out his wife. This guy's Dynamite Radio.
Absolutely.
And I say he needs a producing job on the outside.
Yeah.
Brusco's going to be a bad day if he gets out.
But
you have 9 years, really.
Yeah.
The clock is ticking. And how long have you been in?
I've been in already 13 years.
Ugh.
Are you still in any touch with your wife?
No, not right now. We're kind of broken up.
Yeah. Sometimes when you put a hit on them,
it's not good.
It's hard to see eye to eye. Yeah.
Well, Adam, let me tell you something. I got two guys here. They have a really big dispute going on, and I figured, well, you're a man of wisdom.
Thank you.
And I figured I'd bring this to you because otherwise these guys will probably beat each other up.
Well, what is the problem? What's the dispute over there?
Well, basically, there's two cellmates. One of the guys went to the yard, and he came back, and his cellmate, basically, he's blaming him for taking his radio. His portable radio's gone. And he was telling me earlier, he said, man, there's other stuff that's been missing from my cell once in a while, and I don't know what's going on. Maybe this guy's stealing from me or something.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, when his portable radio ended up missing, he says, man, I'm going to beat this guy up. I'm going to put some D batteries in the socket, just beat him up. I said, no, let's take this to the Adam Carolla Show.
Not A batteries.
Yeah, well, listen, I appreciate it, David. And how does it work with your cell? Your cell is just left open when you head out to the yard?
Well, they actually close it, but, if one guy stays in, basically, he says he came back and his radio was gone.
Yeah.
And his cellmate had a really bad excuse. I'll let them tell the story.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
I like to hear this, but how do you steal something when you live in the same cell? In a bunker with a toilet with no seat on it that's 6 foot by 9 foot? How do you steal anything and where do you put it? Uh-oh.
Maybe the cellie will tell us.
I just did the math.
Me too.
Who's on the phone?
Okay, let me go ahead and put the first guy on the phone. Okay?
Thank you.
We're going to call him the plaintiff.
Okay.
Huh. His name's Augie. A.K.A. Everybody has an A.K.A. in prison. They go by something. His A.K.A. is Woody. He's a free striker from the San Fernando Valley, right from your phone.
Ah, hometown boy.
Okay, so let me go ahead and introduce Augie.
All right.
Here's Augie. Hello, Adam.
Augie.
Hey, how's it going?
Where are you from in the San Fernando Valley?
I'm from the city of San Fernando.
Oh, you know what? God's country over there.
Yeah.
If you like cars up on cinder blocks, God's country. And
this recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Well, Adam.
Yes, Augie.
I got a little dilemma right here, and I'm willing to let you preside over this matter.
Thank you.
Judge Adam.
Okay, here's the deal. I went to the yard a couple of weeks ago, and upon returning to my cell, my radio was missing.
Mm.
My cellmate claims a unit officer confiscated it during a cell search, but I don't believe him.
Well, Augie, can I interrupt? Why would he have confiscated it?
Well, because I have my suspicions because a couple of my porn magazines have also come up missing.
Well,
good porn is hard to come by in prison.
I got to tell you,
I don't go people chasing homosexual in the yard because they like a woman with a hole, not a woman with a pole.
I understand. Yeah.
So I value my.
I got that on my license plate frame, by the way.
Hey. I'm gonna knit that on a pillow.
Let the guy behind me know where the Ace Man stands.
Hey, so I value my porn as any cage man should.
Sure.
But back to the radio.
Now listen, men have been killed over Sears catalogs over there just because they have a nice bra selection.
Of course.
Right.
So, you know, rather than put a 6D batteries in a sock and turn his ugly face into hamburger meat,
right?
I'm inclined to settle the matter here.
Well, here's my question for you, Augie. What high school did you go to in the San Fernando Valley, by the way?
They didn't allow me to go to San Fernando because I was from San Fernando, so they sent me to Sylmar.
Mm.
I was a Spartan for a while, yeah. And then I went to Kennedy High.
Sylmar, a good baseball team over there. We used to play them every year.
And then, you know, I basically graduated from a juvenile facility.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand. By the way, when they won't take you in San Fernando High, that's bad. That's a bad sign. That's not exactly an elite academy over there.
Exactly.
But the point is your radio is gone, and here was my question. The guard who comes in, what excuse would he have given if he did, in fact, take it? Would there be any reason for the guard to take it?
It could have been altered. It could have not been on my property card.
Mm-hmm.
There could be various factors. But it's my belief he would have left a receipt, or he would have brought it to my attention. I took your radio.
Uh-huh. They can't just come into your cell and start taking things.
Exactly.
I see. And how often do they check your cell?
Infrequently, depending on, you know, it could be bi-weekly, it could be weekly, it could be monthly.
I see. And what was this? Was this a Walkman type thing?
It was a kind of a radio with the handle, about $100 value radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I bought it on the black market for $20 on the yard.
Uh-huh. And how does that work? That may have been a gift that somebody gave to somebody else?
No, well, people over here sell things, barter things. You know, it's the Homeboy Shopping Network.
Right. And, I like that. All right, well, listen, Augie, I don't know, you know, I'm not sure if I can settle this over the phone. I think Damashek's going to have to do it in person.
Yeah.
So I'm going to send him out there. No, here's what I think. I think we ought to just send you a new radio. I really do.
What about some new porno magazines? Are we allowed to?
Yeah, we got...
Maybe a copy of Barely Legal or
Fox. Reported call is from an inmate.
I don't know about Barely Legal, but maybe a Penthouse or a Playboy?
Yeah, how does that work? Are we allowed to send you a porn package?
Well, I doubt I'll be able to receive it because they'll black out all the genitalia.
Oh, really?
But
that's a decent gig.
I can still look at the facial expressions that they make.
All right, I feel like, because we're out of time here, I'd like to hear the other side of the story, but I just don't have enough time to get to it, and I know you guys got to get back to making shivs and pumping iron with your shirts off in a montage sequence out on the yard.
So,
yes.
Let's do it next week. Next week we'll hear the other side of the story, and then we'll render a decision, all right? Tell Dave.
All right, Augie.
Okay, thank you. Nice
tell Dave.
You.
Good talking to you. I'll tell you, no politer guys than...
they're sweet.
Delightful, clever little quips.
Yeah, the
everything
Homeboy
I'm
Shopping
not.
Network. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Sad. But like I said, hometown boy from the San Fernando Valley. Well, we'll take a break. I wouldn't mind. Can we send him out a radio? Can we do that, Bruska?
I'm paying for it.
Oh, no. We'll figure out a different way to take some money out of the retarded kids fund that we raised over there at the Y. Well, what are they going to do with the radio? End up dry humping it. Come on. Well, let's be honest. We still have that money. We
got $2,000.
Yes.
Right?
So it's $1,850 and a prisoner gets a nice radio.
They won't miss it.
They're not going to miss it. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh? Poser.
The Adam Carolla Show.
We got a hell of a show for you tomorrow. International movie star from Snatch and the new movie Crank, Jason Statham. What can't Adam complain about? Our meth family's gonna review the new Paris Hilton CD. Hey, she's current, she's in the news. That's hot! Huh? Also, the Def Rock guy's gonna be buying this potato gun. Sweet, we're gonna get jiggy with it. Late!
Thanks, Jack. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, just enough time left to do a new segment we hope to end every show with called So, What Have We Learned? Well, we've learned that Big Tad, or as David likes to call him, Fat Tad, is more excited about a rib-eating contest in Reno than he is in going to the Bunny Ranch and getting laid after 3 long years. Sad. We've learned that I'd give it all away to be able to do what Ron Jeremy can do to himself. And we've learned that if you watch the Little League World Series and your kid is not on the field, you're a pedophile. And that's a little something called So What Have We Learned?
Good times.
That marks the end of the show. I want to thank Joey Chestnut for coming in here and eating all them dogs. Also, I want to thank Dennis Hoff, Brooke, and Ron Jeremy. BunnyRanch.com is where you go. Thank Hooters for sponsoring Big Tad and his rib-eating pilgrimage. That's right. It's not a trip. It's a pilgrimage when Big Tad, when there's food involved. Big Tad heading to Reno to eat ribs. And also, Joe K for his fantastic Kobayashi impersonation. Something tells me we'll be hearing from him again very soon. Until then, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.